Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Shalom out there to you. Peace and greetings, and welcome in one more time right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Man, live and direct right here from blogtalkradio.com. Yes, sir. Culture Freedom Radio. And tonight we will actually be having Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, a class right here in a topic, Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, on Culture Freedom Radio Network. And before we get that, let's get our lions in the house, because we know we are Yehuda, and they say Jew or Judah. So let's get these lions in here, and we're going to get this one tonight, this class, this show, on the ball, on the road. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, once again, Shabbat Shalom to all of my brothers and sisters of the house of Israel. Yes, sir. All the 12 tribes scattered all abroad, most indeed. And we thank all of you and say Shabbat Shalom to you. Those of you not of the tribes of Israel, we still say Shalom to you. And even those who in the religion of Judaism, Shabbat Shalom, and everybody else is just peace as well. That's what it just means. Shalom just means peace. Tonight we have a topic of conversation, if I can get my words out, y'all, that we want to discuss with you right tonight, talking about the great need of repentance for Black America. Yes, sir, Black Americans. The great need of repentance for Black Americans. Yes, sir, indeed. And let me just give y'all a little description of the show. And I want to do something here tonight. I got to open up with a prayer, because y'all know that we have the Morey and Rabbi David Israel and myself, Morey Ariel Israel. We are your ministers or teachers right there for the Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, the House of Yah. And, you know, we teach spirituality and, you know, teach to break down what the Torah represents and ministers of Yah. So we just want to make sure we start opening up this thing with prayer. A lot of people, they need prayer, and most definitely in the times that we're living in, we most definitely need it. You know, yeah, I need it myself, y'all. I surely need it myself. So I'm going to read y'all this description and open up with prayer. We're going to get this topic of conversation going tonight. But I just want to throw out some things tonight. We say tonight on this topic of conversation, the great need for repentance for Black Americans. We will be discussing how there's a mass amount of so-called Black Americans, and we're using this title Black America, y'all, so don't get offended, just ride with me. There's so-called Black Americans who are living a sinful and unrighteous lifestyle. Will we also be discussing how the younger generations have now moved away from serving or even acknowledging there is a creator, as some may say, God, the English word God. And we say it in our language sometime in the, what you call it, Paleo Hebrew, they say Alahayim, mean power, just mean the power. Most of us, some will say, even would say the most high power. Yes, sir. So nowadays, there's a lot of that. And I know David Israel, my brother Morey David Israel, he had some articles that he was sharing, and I know he's going to get into it. He actually did a lecture on it, I think last week or a week ago or so. 2 weeks ago. So he was talking about how younger generation is basically moved away a lot of things from the church and all of this stuff and tradition of the church. We're going to get into all of that tonight. But yeah, there's a great need, though, for the repentance of Black America. So before that, y'all, I got to stand up, because we always do it in the Hebrew culture. We, you know, stand. Some even prostrate. Now, that's very few. But let me stand and face the east, y'all, with my hands outstretched. And we're going to give some praise to the Most High Yah and give a call out to the Most High Yah, our creator of the heavens and the earth. Dear Heavenly Father Yah, we call on you right now, dear Father Yah, to hear our prayer. Hear our call unto you, dear Father Yah. Dear Father Yah, we want to, first of all, thank you for this blessed Shabbat day that you have given unto us, this day of rest, dear Father Yah. Because we greatly need some rest, dear Father Yah. We greatly do need it. And we try to do this in order to keep up with our commandments that we have been giving on observing Shabbat. But first and foremost, dear Father Yah, I just want to ask that you touch the minds of everybody out there, dear Father Yah. Touch the minds of the people that's out here and the world, dear Father. Not only those who are listening to this broadcast, but just everybody. Touch the hearts, touch the minds of the people, dear Father, Yah, because so many people are going through so many things out here. There's just so much madness and spiritual wickedness that has been placed upon the people. So much disinformation, so much falsehood, so many just leading people down the path of unrighteousness, dear Father. So we ask you, dear please, God, touch their heart, touch their minds. Dear Father God, we're going to ask you tonight to just touch our hearts as we try to do this broadcast tonight. Touch our hearts and give us the right words to present to the people tonight so they can get an understanding of where we're coming from and where we and the message that we're trying to give to the people to bring your people back to righteousness. That's what it's all about. Bringing our people back into a righteous way of living and a righteous way of thinking and doing things, bringing in harmony with not only ourselves as human beings, but just with the universal planet as well. So, Father, y'all, we just want to ask that you will reach out into the hospitals and the nursing homes and all of these places where the elders are there. The people are sick in need of healing. We ask you to, dear Father, y'all, comfort them. Comfort them in their sickness and everything. Someone who had a death in the family, comfort them, dear Father Yah, and let them know that you know everything is in your power, everything is in your hand, and that's death is a transition that we all have to go through, and help them to deal with that, dear Father Yah. So we say this in closing, dear Father Yah. We all give all praise and honor to you by saying hallelujah, hallelujah, shalom, shalom. All right, let's get it going here tonight. Yes, sir, indeed. The great need for repentance in the black community. First of all, let me get this in before I get my brothers in here. Let me read the definition of repentance right fast. I got two definitions here. First of all, we're going to come from just the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Yeah, Merriam-Webster's right here. Now, let me see here which one I have. I'm got to go back. Merriam-Webster said, did I go too far? I lost one of the definitions. Yeah, here we go. One of the definitions of Merriam-Webster said that repentance is the action or process of repenting, especially for misdeeds and moral shortcomings. Yes, sir. The actions or process of repenting, especially for misdeeds and moral shortcomings. So let me go back and get y'all one more here. And we go to the Cambridge Dictionary. You want to go to the Cambridge Dictionary. And Cambridge Dictionary says that the word repentance is the fact of showing that you are very sorry for something bad that you have done in the past and wish that you have not done it. Yeah. Let me see. Is there, they have anything else on that one? Yeah, I think that's it. But yeah, repenting. And I know in the religion of Judaism, I practice well, we can't say Judaism without the Talmud and things of that nature. I'm not a Talmudic person in that sense of a formal practice of Judaism, but we have something to have. We talk about called teshuvah. Teshuvah is meaning the return, or as some would say, we talk about we have Yom Kippur, and that's the Day of Atonement, or we are atoning. Meaning how we say teshuvah is just meaning to return, and we as a people, a so-called black people, truly need to return. What do you mean return? What do you talk about, Arya? We needed to return back to it because, it was times that they said that, I used to hear this, they said black people now, they would say it, are the most religious people. They use this term, religious people on the planet Earth. Now, people have a problem with that word religion. Me, I don't have a problem with that, understanding deeply what the word religion means. It's the English terminology. We know that ancient brothers and sisters wouldn't have used that terminology because it would not have existed. But there's so much to that definition, and I'll get into that probably later. But, well, even if you don't say religious, they were a spiritual people. You go out through the continent of Africa and just look historically, just even say historically, that's why I always say to y'all, there were never a time that I can remember, even from studying, that you found that you couldn't find whether black people were not a spiritual people. They didn't have some kind of concept of worship in religion or spiritual system or practice. There were no doggone atheists, as we say this used, and that's known as Greek atheist people at that time, especially with so-called the melanated people. You can't find it. There was all over, they had some kind of concept of a higher being, higher deity, as they, or creator, that they gave reference to and looked to and cherish. So, but today we see here in the West, what we call America, with a lot of things now, we have a lot of people have tend to move away from that. Now, I know a lot of my family, grandmothers and all them, they were very spiritual people, even though they might have been Christians, but they were very spiritual people, especially grandmama. All praise to my grandmother, and may the peace and blessings be upon her soul. And even my mother as well. And my father, I remember, peace and blessings of all of them, because all of them transitioned. When I was younger, my father and his brothers, they had a gospel group. They used to have a gospel group. So I used to be all over, you know, down here in Mississippi and Memphis, going to different churches because they were performing as a gospel group. Yeah. So, yeah. So I remember that back in the day. So, but yeah. And so our people now, we're seeing a lot of things. As people might say, well, y'all need to get rid of all that damn religion. Get rid of all that religion. Get rid of damn Christianity. I know there's some things with Christianity. Yeah, I know, but I'm not here tonight to get into that. But there are some things that we had some, you know, some bad things with Christianity that happened to us here. But and that could be with any religion, Islam, hell, even some things with Judaism, or we'll say the Israelite tradition. There's a lot of things. Hell, even with some of these stuff that these Israelites teaching now, it's a lot of foolishness and a lot of negative things. But there are some great things too. We just got to look at them and weigh them out. But that's not the topic tonight. But we weigh it out, and some people say, well, we need to get away from religion. And, you know, I'm glad religion is falling away. I'm glad people are leaving, whether it is they're leaving the church, they're leaving the mosque with Farrakhan, and they're leaving this, they leaving, and they're getting away from this concept of a God. Stop believing in all that foolishness. You know, God don't exist. Abraham and all of them people in the Bible did not exist. The Bible is fake. You know, people say these things today, but I ask y'all, when y'all look at this movement, mass movement, how people have moved away from these spiritual concepts and ideals or whatever you've been taught to believe, how well have our societies turned out now? I'm just asking for, because we talk about Black America, and Dave, you know, come on in when y'all get ready. How well, if we look at it, and they say, y'all, do the data, do the statistics, look at when our people were in maybe the churches, in the mosque, you know, but I'm just saying, probably the Nation of Islam, because, you know, Sunni them don't really get too involved in the Black community or anything. But you look at, take that time, and now look at the situations where most of our people have moved away from the concept of worshiping, acknowledging the Creator, and just look how things, how our society is now. Do y'all think it's better now that they got away? Now we got away from God. Now you ain't got nobody control. Y'all think, so how is it now? Is it better? Look at the mindset of the people. Nobody cares about anybody else anymore. There's no regard for a brotherhood, like, you know, the Torah says, and we know when it's saying this part, it says love thou neighbor. We know actually as Israel in the Torah, it was talking about other Israelites. But that don't mean you can't have a love for anybody else as well. Because even it's one of them books I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but I used to hear Farrakhan say it, and I'll find it later when these brothers come in. It talked about, I'm going to say it, quote it the way Farrakhan said it, y'all. I just like the way Farrakhan said it. He says, how can you say you love God who you've never seen and hate your brother who you see every day? Now, that's not how it was written, but I heard Farrakhan say it that way. I like how he put it.
I heard you.
But how can you love God who you've never seen? Say you love God who you never seen, but hate thou brother who you see every day. But anyway, let me let the Rabbi David Israel in there. We got Alpha Male in the house with us as well, y'all. We are y'all hosts right here tonight and teachers tonight right here on Liberation Tabernacle of Yah and Culture Freedom Radio Network. And we thank y'all for tuning in. Yes, sir. We are Moray David Israel, Brother Alpha Male, and me, Moray Israel. Yes, sir. Shalom to my brother. Shabbat shalom to my brothers out there. It's still daylight, so it's still Shabbat. Yeah, peace to my brothers. How y'all doing, brothers?
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir. Loud and clear.
All right. Shabbat shalom. Hey, Alpha Male. Shabbat shalom, Alpha Male. Glad to hear you, man. Glad to hear you, man.
Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Hey, we got an OG in the building, Alpha Male. Yes, sir. Hey, I'm going to start off with Shema Israel or Denial Lahainu or Denial Kaz. Abarukatah Denial Lahainu Melakah Ha'alom. Hamosu Lakam and Arise. I would like to say in name of Liberation Tabernacle Yah, I, Moray David Israel, greet you all with Shabbat Shalom. And I would like to greet my good dear brother, Moray Aria Israel, with Shabbat Shalom. Alpha Male, Shabbat Shalom. I'm glad you came in and ushered us with the opening, Moray Aria. I had to step back for a second. I had to get my articles together. But I would like to say, you know, tonight, glad that we have a combined Shabbat tonight where we have a panel of hosts and good dear brothers out here, man. First off, I'm going to start off with a scripture. And when you talk about sin, sin, and you brought up the topic tonight, which I'm glad you brought it up about sin. Now, when we're getting into the topic for tonight, and we're getting into the great need of repentance for Black Americans, I'm going to get into a scripture, Deuteronomy 28:1. Deuteronomy 28:1. Deuteronomy 28:1. It says, it shall be that if you hearken to the voice of Hashem, Yah, to observe, to perform all his commandments that I command you this day, that Hashem, your God, will make you supreme over all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of Hashem, your God. When we as Israelites, we follow Yah Elohim, and we follow the commandments, we follow the laws, and somebody who don't follow the laws of Yah is what you call a sinner. A sinner is somebody who transgressed the law of Yah, somebody who goes against the law of Yah. Now, when we're looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're looking at the Ten Commandments, there's 10 commandments that says you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of Yah, the Lord Adonai Yah, in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Now, when it comes time for you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not murder, you shall not steal. Now, something that I always say, and I hear, you know, a lot of so-called black Americans, you know, they say that they don't believe in no to not, they don't believe in no Lord, they don't believe in nothing. Even with Messianic Israelites don't believe in the commandments. When we're looking at commandments like you shall not, thou not commit murder, and thou not commit adultery, you shall not steal. My question is, if you don't have these commandments, now, what are you going by in life that allows you to say, like, for instance, if somebody come and steal your wife, you know, and they sleep with your wife. Most guys out here, oh, they don't believe in the commandments. They don't believe in no laws. Where are you getting that from if you accuse your wife of cheating on you? Yeah, man, slept with my wife. Well, if you don't have no laws, you don't have no commandments, then you don't have no say in your house. You don't have no rules in your marriage. Because most rules, whether people want to acknowledge or not, come from Tanakh. It comes from Tanakh. Even when we're looking at brothers and sisters who say they charismatic and they believe in Afrocentricity and all this stuff. Well, when we're looking at Egypt, you had the laws of Maat. The laws of Maat has laws like that too. So when we're looking at, you know, even with polite situations, he shot up the Bible. But he was stealing people money. He got locked up for doing all this stuff. What do you think they went by to convict his ass of these crimes? They had to have something saying we could do this to his ass. So that's something that we have to look at as brothers and sisters that we must look at. This is going to be the blueprint of order in your house, okay? This is going to keep order in your life, okay? To those things that people go against you and do against you, that's going to guard you. You go and call the police, say somebody stole something from you. If you ain't got no rules, you ain't got no God, you ain't got nothing, where you get this from? Somebody can steal from you. How you going to convict somebody? You know, how you going to get them locked up? If you don't have no rules in your life, if you don't have no God, if you don't have no you don't have no rules for your life. So you can't blame nobody if your world is turned upside down because, look, you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing to stand on. And see, when we're looking at a lot of these people out here that leave Yah alone, and they leave Yah alone, they leave, you know, what you call rules alone, because they don't want nobody to tell them what to do. Look what you're leaving. You're leaving the, pretty much the blueprint that pretty much guards your house. So that's what you have to look at with a lot of these people that leave Yah, that leave God. So something I want to read is on the Hilltop Online. It says, there is a decline in young people attending the Black Church research shows. And this is an article by Caitlin Archibald Drew, published August 14, 2023. It says, research reveals young people are deciding to leave the Black Church, citing hypocrisy, relocation due to higher education, and challenges finding a balance between fellowship and work. As these young Black adults are less religious and less engaged in Black churches than older generations, research shows Howard students and a youth member of the community agree with sentiments and decrease attendance and how this impacts the future of Black church. The rate of college-age students leaving the Black church is slower than the general public. However, the decline remains significant, as Pew Research Center notes. 49% of Black millennials and 46% of Black Gen Zers reported that they rarely or never attend religious services. When I came to Howard, I didn't go to church for a semester because it was nice having Sunday off without any pressure. Eventually, I thought, if I want to be about the faith, I need to start going back, said Willie White, a sophomore honors political science major from Blackshear, Georgia. Their generational attendance and membership are important to a church relevance and capacity. According to both scholars and members of the faith community, the Black church youth exodus is unique due to social factors such as race and culture, which makes African-American faith communities distinct. As noted in the Pew study, while older Black Christians are more likely to attend Black churches, only about a half of Black Christian Jesus reported attending a Black church. Once I found the university chapel, it was definitely a home being. White said, reflecting on his experience, as young people transition and relocate to colleges and universities across the nation, church attendance can dwindle as students enter new communities, making the exodus of young people broad and less specific to the black church. 66% of American young adults aged 18-22 who regularly attended protesting during their teenage years dropped out of regular attendance for at least a year during this their college years, according to LifeWay Research. So this is pretty much an article of pretty much going into millennials leaving the black church. Now, something that I want to say about this, and I say this all the time, when we looking at a lot of people, especially young people, that get into making money, there's something that I always talk about, and I talk about this all the time. When people start to make money, they start to leave Yah. Now, when we're looking at for instance, Tyler Perry. Salakia, my allergies is killing me right now. All this pollen out here, you might hear me snorting or do some kind of snoring with my nose because this pollen is tearing me up. But when we're looking at Tyler Perry, who is a cis and a drag queen, now something I want to get into. Tyler Perry, when he first started out, he was all about the church. Now, we know they got sissies and drag queens and fruitcakes all in the church. But Tyler Perry, he first started out, he was all about the church. He was all about, you know, the God and all that stuff. As he seemed to get into making money and he got notoriety, what you start to notice is he became what you may call a person who started to get into going to a more of a weird, promoting weird stuff. If you look at his TV show, The Oval, which is based off Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's time in the White House, you see all this homosexual shit all in the show. You looking at The House of Pain. He had family-oriented shows like House of Pain when he first came out. Now you see, you had movies like The Haves and The Have-Nots, Welcome to Aunt Bams, you know, family-oriented movies that, you know, was more godly, like, talked about spirituality, black families getting over problems. But as he goes into making money, he built this studio. All of a sudden, boom, he's in this demonic world. you're looking at, you know, you look at so many directors. When Lee Daniels first started out, he wasn't doing all that stuff like Precious. He wasn't doing all that stuff belittling the black family and all that stuff at first. He was doing plays and movies about Americans' problems and stuff that they was going through in life. But now, Precious, for Colored Girls with Oprah, stuff to belittle the black community, stuff, nasty, derogatory stuff. So I get through all that to say the millennials and the people that you see that's backing away from churches and that are backing away from God and getting back into God are African Americans who are into this money. Forget everything else. Moray Ariya, I mentioned your nephew, Brother Polite, earlier.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, y'all that listening, I joke with the Moray Ariya because he used to be a Nawabian. And you know, we all come from the background of studying other schools of thoughts, but Moray Ariya, you always talk about Brother Polite and how back in the day, before all this stuff went down with him, he was into spirituality. He was into the family dynamic. He was into spirituality and the family dynamic, pushing the families together, bringing the his family together. But when he started to make money, what happened?
Oh yeah, he went astray. What they say in Islam? He went waladi olin. He went astray.
He went astray. So the problem, the reason why the so-called young people can't repent, they can't come back to Yah and come back to the way of having some kind of spirituality in their life, of having some kind of regret about the wrong that they're doing, because they say, pride comes before destruction. But the money is in these young people's faces. Once these people get all this money, you know, it's people who got all who has a lot of money, they don't have no pride. They don't care. You see people like Floyd Mayweather when he first came out. When Floyd Mayweather first came out, what happened? He was all about boxing. After he started getting a bunch of money, man, he was taking money back. He lost, to me, he lost his way in boxing. He lost himself. He lost his love for boxing. Same thing with rappers. They start to make money. What happened? They lose their love for the art, and then they start just talking BS and so on. So the reason why a lot of young people can't repent, they can't come back to Yah, is because of the money. I'm going to tell you, it's Satan. Money has a satanic way about itself. There used to be a time where I wanted money. I wanted more money. But the more money I got, the more I started to lose myself. And it just seemed like, you know, the more money I was making, the more I started to lose myself. And so I had to cut back on a lot of my hours. And like they said, to keep the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, I had to have a day for myself. Though I work on the Saturday Shabbat, I have two rest days. I have three rest days, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And those days, I take a step back and I look, think about all the stuff that went on with the previous week before and what I can improve on in my life. And that's something that the reason why a lot of young people can't repent, they can't, you know, do anything as far as coming back to Yah, is because of the money that's in their face. The money leading these people astray. And the churches, they see the church pastor is all about money. Bring something to y'all attention. We're looking at people like Brother Ben X, and who used to be on YouTube. He used to teach. Even though I'm not with the Nation of Islam, I was a former member of the Nation of Islam, not under Minister Farrakhan. And I was also a former Sunni Muslim, which I practiced for over 6 years. Something that I still listen to a lot of brothers who are out here teaching. Though I'm not Muslim no more. You know, I came back to my Israelite culture, but I still listen to brothers who are and other things, because I still want to hear the perspective of everybody else and still got to listen to it. But Brother Ben X at one time used to be deeply into the young youth, teaching about youth and doing for self, doing better in the community. If you look at him now, Brother Ben X looks like a damn drug dealer now. He looks like a damn hustler. He looks like a person who is turning into the way of, and I hate to say it, a street dude. The brother don't have no love for his people or spirituality no more, as far as I'm looking. So when I look at his page, he's all about money. Or let us give this digital real estate. These people is all talking about digital real estate. They're all talking about, oh, let's make this money real fast. Should I sell a hustle real quick? Where is, you know, let's clean people up? There's too many people out here who got money that are black, that's wrong as hell. Let's look at the entertainer P. Diddy, for instance. He is wrong as hell. Got all that money. Can't get himself together. So, yeah, these guys out here, man, they look like hustlers. When people start to deal with this money-making thing, they lose their spirituality. And so that's what I've seen with Ben X. And when I look at not just Ben X, but what made Brother Polite fall to is this chase for money, chase for power. We got to get out of that. Power ain't always good. So, yeah, that's the reason why a lot of people can't repent, because of this money and because of this power trip that they have. So, once people get away from all that money and all that taken away from, all of a sudden they come at, yeah. And Moray REI, I don't know if you remember, but you was talking about how the penile system, how a lot of brothers you've seen incarcerated, how a lot of them came back to God once they got locked behind the bars. Sometimes that's what it takes for people to come back to God, is being brought down to life. Sometimes that's the best thing in life that will get people to repent, is being brought down a notch. So, yeah, that's all I got to say. And sometimes the taking away of money and taking away of power get people to repent. And that's what needs for people to repent, is the taking away of all that power trip. Mm. So, yeah.
Yes, sir. Let me see. Alpha Mayor, you got some for it? You got some first? I'll say something.
not really. I mean, they truly covered the spectrum. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Yes, sir. Let me read this part I was speaking about earlier so I can see it, how it's actually said, y'all. When I came in talking about a man of seeing God, you know, I was quoting, I said how Farrakhan said this. I gave y'all Farrakhan rendition of it. But that's actually going into what they claim and calling the so-called New Testament, right? Or the Christian, we said the Christian scriptures or the Christian Bible. Now, it goes into 1 John chapter 4, verses 20. Now, I'm reading here from my Complete Jewish Study Bible. Now, the King James says it somewhat this way, but it says that if anyone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. But if a person does not love his brother whom he has seen, then he cannot love God whom he has not seen. Yes, this is the command you have from him. Whoever loved God must love his brother too. Yes, sir. Most definitely. Then I go up to same chapter, 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to go back up to verse 12. It says, no one has ever seen God or the Most High Power. If we love one another, God remain united with us, and our love for him has been brought through us. So it's talking about just both of those. It's how we supposed to have, when you talk about a love for brother and me, talking about sister too, you know, because both of you see man, woman. Sometimes it's speaking about both. We just use the term man and something like that. But anyway, y'all, so we talk about how we got to have a love for one another. Now, I'm not talking about this Christianity thing, sometimes how they talk about agape love. You just love someone who just abusing the daylights out of you. No, we ain't talking about that type of stuff. Love your master. You know, he putting that bull whip around your back. Y'all know how I'm chattel slavery. We ain't talking about that type of love. Love them despitefully, those who use you. No, we ain't doing that one. That ain't in Torah. That, like I said, I follow to not what y'all call Old Testament. We don't have nothing like that in there. That's that what they call that new commandments or those New Testament. That's a new thing. No, we ain't going with that one. But on another level, is how we're seeing a lot of our people. Y'all know how they say it like this. I say it put like this. Y'all ever heard this saying, when in Rome, you do as the Romans do. And that's what a lot of our damn people are doing. Well, we might as well say Greek too. We name Greece, you do as the Greeks do. No, you don't do what everybody else do. You don't do that. That's why we have in the Torah, when we see in the Torah, it talks about when the children of Israel, it was a commandment that was given. When you go into the land of Canaan, you don't take on the ways that, you know, that they have. You know, they have a custom because people was already there. You don't go in there doing like they do. No, you ain't going in there doing that. Whatever they doing, all this LGBT stuff, you ain't going in there doing that. Sacrificing your children, you not going in there doing it. Don't be like these damn other folks. That's why I said you've been given Torah, and actually Torah means teachings and instructions, right? That's what actually Torah means. It don't actually mean law. It means teaching and instructions. So you're given these instructions on how to maintain and live your life and set up your government, a.k.a. nation as well. So there's a lot of things in their statutes and judgments of how the judge is going to rule once they get in there, like the Supreme Court. So there's a lot in that, right? But you're not supposed to act like those folks. I don't give a damn what they doing. Mama, y'all remember that? That's home training. That's home training. That's why I said mama them. Y'all got that? Mama them said, yeah. Mama them will tell you that. Big up to our mothers out there, man. Big up to all those mothers out there, whether they with you living now or have made that transition. Big up to those mothers. Have laid a lot of great wisdom. Does y'all know, because y'all do, I'm going to throw this in here too, is what I'm saying. And, you know, in the Bible, wisdom is basically given it, this is a feminine principle, right? Y'all do know that, right? Yeah. Now, ain't talking about this stuff like Dave said, my nephew and my son, polite. Oh, hell no, Dave. I'm going to have to be a, what you call that thing, baby? Damn, I forget what they call it now, Dave. A deadbeat dad on him. I can't claim him. No, sir. No, sir. But anyway, or a deadbeat uncle, whichever one. I can't claim that character. But anyway, going back to wisdom, the mothers, them, they always told us, you don't go doing what everybody else do. I don't give a dang on what your friends do. You don't do what they do. So this is what we're trying to tell them. Like, I don't care what we're seeing that society is telling you, promoting on television, promoting in the music industry, just promoting a lot of what we're seeing today is a lot of degeneracy, a lot of sexual overtone on everything. You don't have to do what you see them putting out there and telling you is to do. You don't have to do that. You don't have to follow every damn thing that's out here and make it, because they make it look cool. They're going to make it look like, man, it's something to do, like these trends that you see on all of these TikToks and Instagrams, like it's a trending thing. Like that's why they have people out here now calling themselves influencers. But you watch some people, be careful about a lot of the people that you watch that's trying to influence you, because everybody that's out there calling themselves an influencer are not to influence you in the right direction. Because we even go here, we'll take whether it's in the Holy Quran or in the so-called, the New Testament, the Book of Revelations and whatnot. Some people may say the devil or Satan. Hell, he's an influencer. Let me say it again. Yeah. Hell, he probably calls himself that spirit, that adversary we have in called, and what we say the form of Judaism, the adversary. Hell, he's an influencer because he try to influence you. There's an influence, whether it's a spirit, y'all call it a spirit, whatever. It's trying to influence you to do other than righteous. So just be careful about everybody you see on a damn camera on TikTok doing something. They're saying there's an influencer. Yeah, because there's a negative influencer, there's a positive. You want to focus on and pay attention to the positive influences. And that's what we're seeing today. That's why we're having this. There's a great need of repentance for Black Americans. Yeah, we're talking to you. This could be for anybody, but we're talking to you. Because look at our communities. Just look out through places where it's majority of so-called Black Americans. Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, Memphis, Tennessee. Philly. Hell, you got, what's that, y'all? Detroit. We got all these places like that. Y'all know they at Chicago. And look at we always talk about the crime rate. Just look at those societies and those communities and how things are. Look at it. Look how bad things are right now. I can show enough talk about Memphis. I can surely talk about Memphis because that's where I live at. It's piss poor. It's bad. And like I said, we know that the church organizations are the main spiritual organizations, or we say religious organizations in our communities. Hell, there may be on one strip of street where I kind of live at, if I drive down there, that's probably about 6 or 7 churches on this little one little strip round through here. And the crime rate is off the Richter scale. It's a damn shame. Something is missing. Something is wrong. Something is not right. Something ain't right here. So I don't know what's going on, but like I said, we look at a lot of we're losing a lot of the generation of people. And there was something there I was looking at, and it was a video that I sent you once earlier. It was too long for me to actually play it now. But what's happening with a lot of you said that these younger people are leaving so-called spiritual centers, or whether it's a church, mosque, whatever. And we primarily just say the church. Let's primarily just stick with the church. Because they're saying that a lot of these institutions are doing the same old, same old. And they want some progression. They want inside of the church some Barack Obama agendas. Y'all know what I mean, right? When y'all look at progression and we talk about the liberals, they want anything, any way the wind blow. That's an old song, y'all. Any way the wind blow is cool with me. They want that any way the wind blow stuff to come inside of these churches. And which you have these centers like that that's supposed to be built upon moral principles. Now, we ain't doing homosexuality. Now, we, like I said, you did know now. Little old choir boy, let the tambourine player and some of them folk that choir directors, y'all know he was Fruity Pebble. We do know that all. Come on now. That we everybody know a lot of them been up in the church for a long time. So, but anyway, according to the foundation, though, a lot of the things, they ain't supposed to be up in there like that, because they're supposed to be trying to change. Now, I like a pastor said here, you can come in that way. He said, he don't mind you. I love for you homosexual to come to church. You can come in that way, but I'd be doggone if you stay that way. He said, because you're supposed to be coming into the church to get a rehabilitation and coming to get away from it. Like, you know, it's like going into the hospital. You're coming to get healed. So he said, yeah, you come on in. I can't deny you coming in, but you ain't going to stay up in here that way. But a lot of churches have been allowing them to stay in that way because, like Dave was saying, though, it's like Deion Sanders said, it must be the money that's turning them on. A lot of them are big tithers in the church. See, it becomes more about the financial part than anything. We're talking about moral principles and guiding people to the right. But a lot of things we see in our people today, they're just going with whatever society is saying. If this is the way you're going to make your money, you need to succumb to this. Follow this trend, follow that trend, and all this other crazy stuff. Like, you look at how some people dress today, these dress codes. Hell, it's going to get, I guess, eventually it might get warm. You're going, if women, boy, I'm telling y'all, in the communities, these black women going to be out here. Now, this is not every black woman, I'm not saying this, but they going to be booty butt naked. That's something every brother Eric would say, y'all. They going to be out here booty butt naked. I'm telling you, see-through clothes, no shame at all. No shame at all. My grandmama would say, all they hind pods out. I mean, no regard, man. No, it's like, what I was listening to something the other day. I got your call. I'm finna come right at your call with all ones. It was like an elder said, I was listening to a thing the other day. They said, that's why it was called private pods. They called it private pods. Now, it ain't no private parts. They're showing everything. It's public parts now. Yeah, your breast was considered your private part, you know, on a woman. Her vagina was that's a private part. Your butt cheeks and all that was your private part. Now you just let all of it out. Now it's on public display. This is on public. Let me get the call in here right fast. Someone had their hand up. Come on, babe. Come on. Yes, sir. Caller with all ones. Welcome in to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Peace to you. Shalom.
Yes, sir. How are you? I appreciate you taking my call. This is Brother Mike. I mean, absolutely, not only you are right, absolutely, it also applies to the white, Asian, and everybody else too. I mean, you are specifically talking about darker skin. I mean, I don't want to use black, white, etc., but I guess I have to use it in order to understand each other. But you are right. The black people, I mean, the white people, I mean, we see, I mean, you are right. It's their private part, but the way showing it, I mean, it's a sin. As long as we have a sin in United States of America, I mean, United States of America, let's put it this way. They've forgotten religion. They've forgotten Jesus Christ. And as a result, we having all these problems around the globe. For example, Middle East. Right now, it will be World War III coming 96 hours, and et cetera. And everything would be a mess around the globe and inside our country. Am I right or wrong, sir?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
You know, and it's the fault of the, you know, we go bomb Middle East, Iraq, and many other countries, etc. And it's very unfortunate. All the alcohol gas stations or all the liquor stores, they open it within the depressed area of the black community. And the reason is clear. They want to screw the American people. You know, already we have a problem. And then people go buy whiskey, beer, etc. Accessible so quick. You know, there are some cities in United States, if you want to buy beer or whiskey, you have to go 20 miles away from the city to buy it. So you see, they say, well, you guys come and bomb us, and we come over here, we open gas station liquor, and we sell it to your depressed people, and depressed, which majority of Americans are depressed right now, regardless of black, white, yellow, Asian, red, etc., you know? So then the society is getting more depressed and more depressed, and we see so much killing, so much divorces, so much disunity, and disunity is danger to Americans. As long as we do not come realize that the humanity is one, and the challenge of the racial unity is America's most challenging issues. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. And I agree with you that, like, this is a basically, it should be a world repentance problem. And especially America. America has a great sin problem. So it is all of America. The only reason we're just bringing saying the great need for repentance for black America because, well, us was on the show. Just for a general term's sake, we're saying black, but, you know, most of the time we don't probably use that, black Americans, but just a general term. And we're focusing on the black Americans. That's where we live at in black communities. So we are, when a lot of the things is happening, I'm just speak for myself. When I'm seeing a lot of things, because I'm affected by all the things that a lot of us in the black community is happening in this major city, the city I live in, Memphis, predominantly black, I'm affected by the things that's happening. So and I see a lot of things how I would say we're majority being used as pawns in this criminal game, the looting and all of this type of stuff. So this is what we're trying to tell y'all how to stop this foolishness. Stop it. Because you can't holler that, you know, a lot of things about racism when and you're doing a lot of things to yourself. So, but it is a lot of things, just not only blacks just need to repent, but there's a lot of people, different nationality. Hell, like I said, if I say what Israel is over there doing over there, to the Palestinians. I disagree with that wholeheartedly, how they're massacring these people. Now America want a so-called, so-called somewhat, I won't even say they upset because they know he'd be lying, but now they want to kind of get, say something because of American, what was that, person who was bringing aid over there got killed. Now they want to like kind of say something to Israel, but no, but you weren't saying nothing when all of those Palestinian people were over there getting massacred. And y'all knew this. Y'all weren't trying to just force Israel to stop bombing those people. So America has a great goddamn sin problem. Been happening a long time. And it don't look like some of these people that's in power give a damn whether they know it or not. They don't really care. Because we look at certain aspects of some people in America, how you're trying, they're pushing abortion, fighting to slaughter babies in the womb. I don't know if you know a lot about infanticide. I don't know if you heard a thing called infanticide, where they talk about a woman can go through her whole 9 months and have the baby and deliver the baby and then turn around and say she want to abort the baby. Now, the baby's 9 months. Yeah, that's now, and they that how you say that? How is that abortion? Hell, that's straight murder. But this is what these people are doing, man. It's crazy.
No, absolutely, you're right, sir. Can you give me your name, please? Sorry.
Well, I'm saying I just call myself in Hebrew, Aria Israel.
Oh, Aria Israel, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom. Yeah, I hear your accent. You don't mind when we ask, maybe what's your nationality or something? I hear your accent.
We are from Persian, my friend.
Persian.
So,
uh-huh.
Yes, of course, right now they have a problem with each other, with Israel, but it's not Iranian people or people of Israel. People of Israel love Iranian people, people love people of Israel, but what you see is just the Ayatollahs, you know, Ayatollahs never been elected by the people of the Iran, and they are illegally occupied Iran, and illegally, you know, like you guys, is 183 days hostages in of yours, I believe, still is under Hamas, so. You can see, you can feel 183 days, and we have been 45 years hostages of Ayatollahs, my friend.
Wow.
So, Iranian people, we never had the Quds Day. You know, Quds Day is the day that Palestine will be freed, and we never had this until this Ayatollahs took over, you know. So they show that these people are Arabs. Because Iran, Persia, we know that, as you know, Cyrus the Great gave Jewish people a lot, freedom from the slavery and give them money. Say, please go ahead and build your own houses bigger and bigger, or whatever you do, make sure that they never come and get you slave again. So we can see, you know, we have a good relationship with Israel. Israel has a good relationship with us. But unfortunately, you know, I since the time of Ayatollah came by the help of British Empire, I mean, they destroyed Iran. They destroyed every aspect of Iran. And now they are doing it to the Americans. I mean, right now, today, people say, I love Trump. The other ones say, I love Biden. I love something else. And they divide Americans right now to the point of Civil War II. So, British Empire is very bad.
I'm chime in 1 second on something you were saying earlier. You were saying earlier how you admit that American government give you all the money to open up corner stores and to sell the American people liquor, pork, and all that, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. If you notice that, is majority is from Afghanistan, Iraq, or Egyptian, or some from Middle East, the majority of them, and they should be not doing that. If they want to do that, they can easily do it maybe 10 blocks away or something, different areas. Why they come and do those things right in front of our beloved Americans, and they know Americans are depressed. Americans are, of course, having problems, and then anybody can buy beers and access to whiskey and hard liquor. So this is a crime against humanity, my friend. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yes, I agree on you with that. But my problem is, and I respect. I'm going to give you respect on a lot of stuff that you're talking about. But one thing that I kind of have an issue with, and this is just from me to you as a so-called Hebrew American.
No. I didn't say evil American. I said British Empire. British Empire divided America.
No. I'm a Hebrew American. I'm an Israelite American.
Right. Shalom.
I'm just saying. I want to give a word to you. You know, some advice to you.
Yes, sir.
I want to give you some advice. I want to say maybe you need to start to tell a lot of the Middle Eastern people where you're from to maybe if you could talk to them about some of the stuff that's going on, maybe that can help, you know, your community, you know, because that's something that, you know, I see that a lot of people who are claimed to be allies to so-called African Americans, I see that a lot of people who are from other countries that claim to be allies of so-called African Americans, I see that you all come to us with this, you know, stuff about what is wrong and, you know, what is should be good for us and how, you know, you come to us about how, you know, how America's done us wrong. But I've noticed from a lot of my background, I'm dealing with Middle Easterners and people from that are, you know, from other countries that claim to be allies of African Americans, I noticed that you all don't preach this shit to your people. That's something that I feel like you need to preach to other Middle Easterners. I feel like you shouldn't come to African Americans and tell us, oh, well, you're on our side and you're this. And I feel like you need to preach this to your people, maybe it can wake up their eyes. Because I'm gonna tell you something. I was born a Messianic Jew. I was born a Messianic Jew.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but in my teenage years, I got into Sunni Islam. I started practicing Sunni Islam, and I converted to Islam as a teenager, right? And
yes,
I practiced al-Islam, right? And I practiced with Middle Eastern Muslims. And I would go to the mosque with Middle Eastern Muslims. And I would notice that a lot of Middle Easterners that claim to be allies, like as yourself is saying you are to African Americans, I noticed that you all will be our allies when it comes time for your problems with America. But you're not our allies when your Middle Eastern brothers and sisters treat our people like crap in our communities. Like, I'm going to tell you something. I understand you're saying that Americans and how, you know, people from other countries treat black Americans like crap. I understand you're saying that. But I've noticed that Middle Easterners, African Americans, worse than white Americans do. I've noticed that.
Can we let him respond, Dave? I hear he want to respond. You don't mind.
No, let me say, let me finish this. But I feel like you need to be more critical to your people over in the Middle Eastern community. You know, I feel like you need to preach to them a lot of stuff that they're doing to African Americans.
But to my friend, you made a mistake. You know, we are Persian. We Persian, we don't have problems with any blacks or anybody. First of all, I'm calling from Asia right now. But the question is, we Persians in United States or in Canada, I mean, we adore our neighbors. We adore our Nigerian,
I had an Iranian manager, right? I work as a licensed hairstylist, right? And I worked for an Iranian lady who owned a salon, and I'm going to tell you something. I ended up getting a permanent job in her salon. She had gave me a key to the salon to open up the salon. You know what the first thing she told me? She told me, don't have no people hanging around our salon and loitering, and you know how your people do. And when I heard that, I said, damn. And that changed my whole perspective of how Iranians are to so-called black Americans.
I got to ask a question on that one, Dave. I got to ask a question, Dave. I got to be honest. But did she lie?
I mean, but, you know.
When she said people be hanging out, you know how y'all be. Did she lie though? Because I could take you through the city of Memphis right now. Hell, there's some stores like folks hanging out all every goddamn well. Liquor stores, they hanging out everywhere in some of these places. That don't mean everybody, but yes, yeah, it's primarily you can find that does happen. So that was it. Did she tell a lie? That's something just being honest. Did she lie?
That's bad
for business.
Black communities, but this was a high-end salon where primarily white people came in.
So you took it she was saying that what she was saying was racist?
Yeah, because it was a high-end salon in a predominantly white community that I worked in.
Mm. So she thought you was going to have the homeboys hanging out, the homies hanging out.
Yeah, this wasn't a bad neighborhood.
I do apologize on behalf of her if she said something like that, but maybe it's one bad apple. You know, you find bad apples everywhere. But regardless, first of all, you have to know Persians are different with Arabs. Right now, Arabs are occupied my country for 45 years. So those Arabs that you said they don't treat the blacks good is it's not my issues. I mean, yes, I sympathy with you. I empathy with you, but I am sorry. It's not they are not Persians, you know, they are Arabs. So, yes, I understand fully what you say.
No, she
but,
was from
but
Iran.
But I don't support it.
She was from Persia.
I am with you on that.
And she came over here at age of 30, and she's been over here. She was over here for years. It's crazy because I ended up quitting this lady's salon. And I'm being serious. She was full-blooded Persian, born, raised, lived there up until, I think she told me the age of like 28 when she came over here. Yeah. So, nah.
So I want to ask, to throw this out here then for that question, because he's saying that Iranians are pressing his people, the Persians. Now, some black Americans will probably look at, well, hell, they all the same. But in his eyes, now I will have to let him explain that, because he's talking about, I remember the Alatoli Omani and all the. So you
right,
were saying,
right.
So you were saying that good. They are not the same. Y'all will be not considered the same, the Iranians and the Persians, right?
Right. You see, Persians and Iranians, they were old names until 1987 that Ayatollah took over. When Ayatollah took over, basically everything became Arabic in my country. Not only we forget our language, and everything is, they talk Arabic to each other, I mean, like a shit. I mean, we are not that. We are Persians. We have 2,500 years of history, and Jewish people, as you are, you say you're born Messianic Jews, so you have over 5,000 years of history behind you. More than 5,000, it's 5,200 something, to be exact. But the question is, you know, people often make mistakes that, you know, Ayatollahs, you know, are same as Iranian. No, Iranian Persians are belong to King of Iran 2,500 years ago, the same Cyrus the Great that freed the Jewish people. It came in Bible. And give them money and everything. They go build your own new houses. So we are those people. We are the children of the Cyrus the Great. But when Ayatollah came, everything changed. And so, basically, 90% of Iranians are children of the Cyrus the Great still. And those 10% belong to the children of the Ayatollahs. So that difference must be happening. Like today, Iranian generals all are flying back to the secret underground location because of the possibility of the major, major war in Middle East is coming within the next 96 hours. So basically, those generals of Ayatollah are not Iranians. They belong to Arabs. Arabs occupied my country. It's the same as, you know, as you say, Africa has gone through many, many, many changes, many occupation, British occupation, French occupation, you know, like Cameroon. Cameroon today is divided in two. They have a half of Cameroon speak English because they were under British imperialism, and the other half speak French because they were belong to French colonialism. So you can see, you know, it's the same thing happened to my ex-country, Iran. And we Iranian, we love everybody. I mean, I love you guys. I mean, have I say anything against you guys? Anything yet? Did I say? You have my total sympathy, empathy, and I apologize if you have gone through some difficulty with one, for example, Persian lady. You said that, but I apologize on her behalf.
I want to say this for me, and I appreciate the fact that you brought out, because you said that, and this is something that should be listened to amongst the community, so-called Black Americans, and I'm saying so-called, that you even bring out and the fact that how you say they, I want you to say it again. I think you said somehow they let y'all give y'all the resources to come in the Black community, sell the liquor and the pork. How did you say that again?
That's unfortunately, if you notice, you go to from New York, from Los Angeles, from any major cities. I mean, the depressed or low-income area that also Black lives, you know, or white lives, it doesn't matter. I mean, they are targeting the whole Americans, my friends, and they have their own liquor stores. They have their own little gas stations, and usually price is higher because for low income, you know, instead of to be fair and balanced, the gas is more expensive. So people say, okay, I go put $5 gas there, and then you buy your own liquor, you buy your own vaping, you buy your own cigarettes. You see, all these things are money-making for them. And then who gets screwed up? Me and you, my friend. We Americans are screwed as a whole, because cigarettes can bring more cancer for us on the lungs, and vaping is the same thing. I mean, anything is bad, they have it over there in their store. So it's there, and people go buy it, say, give the whatever amount of money they are asking, and so they get rich off us. That's the biggest problem. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, and I appreciate, now, that's why I said I appreciate you being honest enough to bring out that fact, because that is true. Because I remember when I used to practice Islam, as a Sunni Islam, and I remember it was a guy, I think he was from Palestine or Pakistan. I think he was from Palestine. And we used to go to the mosque together. And I remember his family had a corner store, and right as soon as you get ready to go to the counter, and it was in a predominantly Black neighborhood, and you go to the counter, they have the jar of pig feet on the counter, like I said, all the cigarillos right there. And as soon as you get ready to the checkout, all that's sitting right on the corner. So one day, you know, he was trying to correct me on some my Arabic, saying a word. And that moment, he caught me at a good day, because I just went off on him, because I was like, hey, man, you trying to correct me on how to say, pronounce this word, and here you go to claim to be a Muslim, and you serving all these people pork and poisoning the people in our community with all this damn pork, the beer, but you know, if you was over there, you wouldn't have none of this in y'all stores over there. But you come in this neighborhood, in these communities, and look what you got on the counter. But you go into the mosque like you so damn holy and righteous, but y'all got all this pork sitting right here on the damn front counter. And y'all don't eat it, but you would serve it to these people and poisoning them and giving them all the hypertension and high blood pressure and selling all this poison to them. And yeah, I couldn't stand it. But that's why I say I appreciate you for even being honest to bring that out and say it is a concentrated effort that someone is allowing or letting them, and it's a targeted effort on the communities.
Yeah, it is in all over the United States. To a mosque, there is no liquor store. There is no liquor store within 10, 15 blocks of the mosque. Any mosque in the United States or Canada or anywhere around the globe. But there is a liquor store for everywhere that, I don't want to name Black, white, but I say America.
Yeah, so just bring out the truth. We understand and bring the truth. Just the truth. Just the fact.
Americans are depressed, and then imagine you go out for a walk. Eh, liquor store is right there. Hey, let's go have a beer. And that's why so much crime, so much disunity, so much divorces, so much anger, so much misery for our American country. And then guess who? Who wins it? They are winning it. But they have a war against us, but we don't see it, you know? And then who the hell gives the license to open such as crap is within one block or two blocks of your this up all apartments or housing or etc. I mean, people have better to do not to smoke. Better people have better to do not to vaping and etc. But once you go there, everything is available. Say, hey, you don't want the beer, you don't want the whiskey. Hey, we have vaping. We have all kinds of cigarettes, major cigarettes. You know, come on. Then what happens? We Americans are going to die and have a lot of problems. And guess who wins that? Those Middle Eastern. But not from Iran. From Iran, I haven't seen really. Maybe one or two, maybe from Iran. I'm sure they have that. But majority, 98% is from Middle East. Means from Qatar, it's from Saudi Arabia, it's from other countries that really they hate us. They want us to die. So they open that.
Hey, I'm a different with you on that one. I've seen some Iranians have some, and I'm gonna put this out there for you. A lot of Iranians deal with a lot of money laundering. Here in the state of Virginia, there's a lot of Iranians that have a lot of gold shops and insurance, fraudulent insurance companies. They actually busted a couple of Iranian guy who had a fake insurance company around here in VA a couple of years ago. So yeah, they have some Iranians that do fraudulent stuff like money laundering and stuff like that. So,
but they belong to Ayatollah, and my friend, they're not belong to Persian Iranians. You see,
no,
those bad things are belong to Ayatollahs. You see, Ayatollahs are the same problem makers, same as the Middle East.
Persian that's doing wrong, trust me. And they had a guy around here that had a fake insurance company around here, and was money laundering around here.
I'm sure they do because Ayatollah needs money. So in order for them to get the money, so they can come to they send their agents and their belong to them, so they do everything. Yes, I'm sure it is happening, and I accept you. I have no objection to what you're saying, sir. But the question is, they are belong to Ayatollah. When we hate Ayatollahs, we don't like Ayatollahs. Ayatollahs are cancer of Middle East, and they have to be removed because of world peace, because of world unity, because of the, peace is construction, war is destruction. Peace is light, war is darkness, and construction is part of destruction, and destruction is part of construction. Go ahead, my friend.
Yes, sir, Dave.
Go ahead, my friend. Dave, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know what happened. He might. He started probably. Now, he was saying. So, I remember his name. Like I said, I was young when all of this went on. So I see you here. I keep hearing you say the word Ayatollah. I can't get it right.
Yes.
But I remember hearing back in the days. That name, it was called Ayatollah Khomeini when they was going against
Khomeini. Yeah. Do you know
so when you say Ayatollah, is that like Okay. Explain, what is their word Ayatollah? That's not an actual person. Is that like a name, like king or something?
No, Ayatollah is a title. It's like, a, you know, in Israel, they give a title to a learned man, you know, to a very high Jewish priest, Chachana. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Chachana.
Yes, sir, I guess.
Yeah. The same thing they say, Ayatollah, and then this Ayatollah Khomeini. We never go outside. We never go to his arrival, but only some people did. But anyway, we find out that Ayatollah Khomeini was born in India, and he was an India man, because when with the free ride with Air France, when he came to Iran, and then what happened, the journalist, one of them asked, he said, Ayatollah Khomeini, can you please tell us how is your, how do you feel? And he said, I have no feelings by coming to Iran. And then a stupid dumbass Iranian, I mean, not all of them, but those 10%, gave the power to him and praised him. He says, you are the best. I mean, we were so stupid. And now we understand why. I mean, he has come after so many years in exile and coming back to, he says, I'm Iran, is my country, but he has no feelings. I mean, right now we live in Asia, but whenever we come to United States, we get different.
Can I ask you something? Now, let me ask you something. Now,
yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Now, you keep saying this shit about, you know, the Ayatollah and all these people and the original Persians and all this stuff, and they ain't got nothing to do with Arabs and all that. Let me ask you something. Now we as Israelites,
yes, sir.
We do accept Esther, Queen Esther, which we had Purim about 2 or 3 weeks ago, which celebrates Queen Hadassah, right?
Right.
Who fought against a evil king named Haman. Queen Esther was dark black, right? Now, in my lecture, I talked about a group of people called the Sidi people, right? The Sidi people. I want to know something. And this is, since you know, you're trying to act like you're an ally, I keep hearing you talk about allied black people and all that. Do you see the original Persians as being black?
If I understood your question correctly, that if I think that Persians are black?
Yeah, no, not Persians being black, but the original, because when you look at Persia, Persia has a bunch of white people there, right? Most of the Persians that I see now are white. A lot of them have fake butts and they have fake titties. And you look at shows like The Shaw of the Sunset, and you see these Persians on TV with fake butts and fake lips and all of that stuff.
That's the show, my friend, to make
entertainment. But do you see what I'm trying to get to? Do you see the original Persians as being black?
Okay, you say that there is no Persian as a black?
Do you see the original, the indigenous people of Persia? Do you see them as being considered black?
Yes, sir. I do strongly believe. I am historian. I read history, sir. You know, first of all, people from Africa, they were black, of course, you know, but I don't want to keep name black, white, but I'm sorry, I have to use the black term. You know, in Africa, first people were black, then they moved.
I'm not saying Africa.
But
I know.
In order to reach, to give you the answer, I have to go back to history, my friend. Yes, from Africa, people keep moving forward. And yes, they have gone to Persia. At one point, Persians at that time were black. They mixed up with Persians. So, yes, but because of the weather, over there is less sun mostly. Or in India, you see India, more people are black. It's like sometimes you see a person from India, because I have been in 20 countries, my friend. I exactly know what you are asking me. Yes, they are very much like a black. I mean, Gandhi was black. I mean, Gandhi and India. And then in Afghanistan, then Persian, then Iraq, then these people, yes, our ancestors are black. We all go to the same route, black. But unfortunately, because of every time people traveled farther and farther to the Europe and Sweden, Netherlands, and etc., so because of the weather condition, then they got lighter and lighter and lighter, and they mixed up together. You know, that's why Hindu-European. So, you know, and also Africans. Yes, say that our ancestor goes to the black, and many, many people also call Jesus was black.
Do you understand? Am I right? Queen Esther was black too, right?
If you say, I believe that you studied it, and I have no problem with what you say, sir.
No. Do you see Queen Esther as being black?
Oh, Queen Esther as a black? I mean, right now, I mean, maybe, I said, we all go back to the origin of Africa, my friend. So,
No. Is Queen Esther dark skin and skin color, or is she white?
Okay, that one, I wasn't there to verify it, my friend. So whatever the historians say, or if we have seen the picture of the Queen of Esther, whatever it is, then I guess I have no choice to accept it. But I haven't been at that time. I haven't been at that moment. I haven't seen her.
But in your country, do Persians see Queen Esther as being dark-skinned?
I mean, that answer I cannot answer you, because isn't that Queen Esther's resting place is in Iran? Because we have a queen from, Esther, or maybe there is another name, that her resting place is in southwestern of Iran, matter of fact. So we know that.
Shushan. It was in a biblical place called Shushan.
Oh, Shushan. Bravo. That Thank you, sir. You said it right, my friend. I was trying to say so. You are in good shape, yes, sir. Absolutely, I accept that. You see,
okay.
We have a good relationship with us. We are older people. We have, but they divided us. You know, unfortunately, the British Empire right now divided United States for Trump or Biden or something. And so political.
Why do you keep class? Let me ask you something. So what country are you in right now?
I am in Singapore, sir.
You're in Singapore. Now,
yes, sir.
Singapore is not in Iran.
Yes, sir.
So why the hell do you keep talking about Iranian politics, and you keep trying to push talk about American politics if you're in Singapore?
Well, I am an American citizen, my friend. We are like you guys, so you know. So
Singapore is not in America, though.
What?
Why, if you're in Singapore, why are you talking about American politics?
Why not? Because I'm an American citizen. I have rights. That's my beloved country, United States. So we want just to.
Lived in America?
What do you say?
Have you lived in America? USA?
Of course, sir. I have lived so many states. Actually, you know, I used to work for military. So, yes, I have been in so many other places. Yes, sir.
I want to ask him, Dave, you're saying about politics, because he mentioned Trump and Biden, and he said that they are dividing, the British Empire dividing the country, which I totally agree.
Not only politically, socially, economically, class, and then with black, white, yellow, red, whatever name it, they want to divide us, and then at the end, they want to create a very bad atmosphere for Americans, and then what we are going to do, and everybody, you know, talking about Civil War II, etc., but that's an American way. American way, we have to give a finger to the British Empire and say, hey, we are above you. We are not going to let you guys to divide us and conquer us and enslave us again for another million years to come. You think Canada, British owns Canada. British owns Australia. British owns pretty much a lot of countries right now.
Their
eyes is look at United States of America the same way they fuck up Iran, they fuck up so many other countries like Pinochet, Argentina, and many, many other countries. So we have to be intelligent enough to understand that this is the bait for us, and we are not going to take the bait. We should be in the most out love, harmony, peace, and whoever become president and move forward like any other times, you know? So we should not kind of act of violence or act of things that British Empire wants us to do. We have to tell the British Empire, go to the hell, and we are Americans, and we are much better than that. We are not going to let you guys to screw us up again.
Yes, sir. Now, as you said, is some of the policies of America, have they been affecting some things in Singapore?
I mean, we have F-35s of the United States Army. Navy is all around us. I mean, we have aircraft carriers. We have everything. I mean, China is already surrounded. I mean, with lots of American ships. So China knows that, you know. So, you know, if they do any kind of wrong move, really, they will be toasted too. But you see, in the atomic war, there is no winner or loser. So in mind, you know, but you know, whoever push the button first, then there is no point of return. When the silos, missiles is off, or you know, the missiles of Russia or Iran against Israel, etc., is up, there is no point of return. And people, I mean, the presidents of the nations in the world, they have to come understand that war is not the answer. Peace is the answer. And war, either we kill all the wars, or war will kill all mankind. There is no other option left for humanity. Go ahead, sir.
So that even goes back to somewhat of the title, despite the term Black Americans. There's a great need for repentance. We could just say for hell the world now, just say for what you're saying about the war, because there's chaos all over. So as we're saying, a need of repentance, a need to return, a need to turn away from, because like we're looking at how the world is going today, it's all chaotic. Everywhere you look is chaos, disorder. So everything needs to, like I said, that's why I like politics. I like to look at things politically and how things going politically. And we're seeing how the, like you said, this country is being torn politically. It's like it's almost on a verge of a, like I said, another civil war politically. And so, like I said, there's a lot that people have to look at. And like I said, we have to return and start looking at our morals, start looking at our values, and start, and we'll look at, if we put those things on the table and look at it, there'll be some things that we will see with black, white, turquoise, yellow, and green. We start looking at certain values. Some of us will see that we have a lot of commonality, and a lot of things that they're pushing, a lot of things they're pushing on us does not align up with our values. It's what they're telling us and what they're showing us. It's like the, like they talk about, what's the guy? He's a, they call him a magician, but which is a grand illusion, David Copperfield. A lot of things we're looking at is just a grand illusion. And a lot of majority of the people, the masses of the people, don't see this grand illusion. They don't see the magical hat trick that's being played, the rabbit out of the hat trick. So, yeah, if we don't pay attention and see what's going on and turn away, there's going to be a lot of destructions. Like, you know, the Bible's even speaking about death and destruction. If you don't turn away from your sins, you will die. And not a time, it don't probably mean physical, but there will be a lot of things. And we're seeing, that's why I'm saying, primarily now for this topic, we talk about Black Americans and how so-called Black Americans are living our lives now. We're seeing so much death and destruction in the Black community because of this sinful lives that so many Black Americans are living. Look at these young people out here. They're not living to the, we used to say you got to grow up and reach a rightful old age. A lot of these young guys are dying in their teens. They're dying in their 20s because of the lifestyle that they're living. Now, that's what the Bible says. If you be disobedient, you will die. And a lot of them are dying for their sinful lifestyles that they're living. So we're putting out you as a so-called, now we're talking about it could be anybody now, but primarily for where I'm living, Black folks, you have to return. You have to repent for your sinful ways. You think this stuff is cool because Hollyweird, and it's a Hollywood, but Hollyweird and all them Satanists and all of them are putting this stuff out in front of you and telling you this is right, this is cool. And look how you are dying. Look how your community is being torn apart by your sins and how you're living.
Amen.
You are being destroyed. But you got to turn away. Until you realize that you're living how you're living, you're going to continue to be destroyed. And it's by your own own means and your own demise. You choosing this. And I'm going to say one more thing. Let me get my Bible. I got to get this Bible out for this. I got to get the Torah out for this right fast. And I'm going to let y'all go ahead. Back. I got to get the Torah for this one. Because it's something that in the Torah, it was a conversation that was going on with Canaan. You know, and they say, go back to the book of Genesis. They say the book of Genesis, chapter 4 here. And, you know, the Most High was talking about Cain and asking him, hey, you know, he's trying to tell him, hey, when you gave him this offering, he said, why are you, he's like, why are you so angry? The Most High, going back to chapter 4, I'm reading my complete Jewish study Bible, right? And it's talking about, it started verse 5. It says, but did not accept Cain's and his offerings. Cain was very angry, and he fell on his face. And the Most High Yah said to Canaan, why are you angry? Why the downcast? Now, here we go. If you are doing what is good, you should hold your head up high. And if you don't do what is good, sin is crouching at the door. It wants you, but you can rule over it. And this is what I want to say to all, anybody, everybody, but especially you so-called black, and using this title, so-called black American. Even though that sin is crouching at the door, is the Most High saying right here. Yes, it's crouching at the door. Temptation is always ever present, and waiting on you to open that door. But it says that you can rule over it. See, some people tell you, and I know in the Christian world, they tell you that you are born a sinner. You are born into a world of sin. You are born sinner, and else that. That's a blatant lie. But we can prove that in another date right here. But it says that, because this even proves that, because it says that even though sin is crouching at your door, is lurking at your door, sitting there waiting on you to open it. As soon as they come, I'm going to jump on you. As soon as you open the door like a robber, a stick-up kid. But it says that you can rule over it. And this is what we have to acknowledge and find that the Most I say, man, you can rule over. Going back one thing to the school of Islam, I remember in the school of Islam when I was in Islam, they talk about how the jinn tried to always get Prophet Muhammad. But it said Prophet Muhammad did not bow down to the jinn, and he said he made his jinn submit to him. So the jinn would no longer try to whisper, because, you know, the Quran said that they whispers into the heart of man. Ha-Shaytan whispers into the heart of man and try to get him off the straight path. But no longer would the jinn or Ha-Shaytan, as far as Prophet Muhammad, would whisper evil suggested to him. They start whispering right suggestions for him because he would not submit. And so that's how we're supposed to do. Don't let them get him. Don't let them submit to you. Like I said, I was talking about negative influence earlier. When we stand firm, even those negative genes or negative, whatever you want to call them, y'all adversaries, as we say, Ha-Shaytan, will no longer come to you and suggest to you negative influence because they don't rule over you. Yes, sir. But then, yeah, there we go.
No, absolutely. You're right, my friend. You know, the question is, okay, this liquor store is just one black from your low-income household around the United States of America. Again, I collectively talk about it because I know you're talking about the Black Matters issues, but these issues belong to every American. I mean, whatever you say, it applies to every American. You know, so that's why I can say also the black and then Americans also. So kind of we always include the blacks first. Yes, these people, when you go, this is the tools of the Shaitan. Shaitan wants you to drink it. Shaitan wants you to vaping it. Shaitan wants you to have 80%, 20% alcohol, you know, and then you do crimes, you do things, then you will be going to jail. And that's why our jails are full of Americans. And, again, I don't want to use black and white, try not to, but yes, black, white, red Indians, et cetera, are in the jail because we do wrong things. When we do bad things, eventually we go to prison. And why should we do that? Alcohol. Yes, the discovery of alcohol belonged to Iran. Sheikh Mohammed Zakaria Razi. He invented the alcohol. Yes, he, in 762 BC. But he did it for medical use only. But of course, later on, when people from, Persians and Roman Empire, they mixed together, and then I guess Roman Empire used that alcohol that Persians, they brought with themselves for medical use only. They created the beer, whiskey, and et cetera, but up to today. But, everything is good. Many Jewish people, they drink, for their festivals of Pesach or Purim or something, that's fine. But they don't drink it every day. You think Israelis are so smart that if they drink that every day, then they will not have a country already, for example. Or the same as true in other countries, So it's just masses of the brain, masses of the system. Then you quarrel with your wife, you quarrel with your father, mother, and then you go out, and then your friends also in the same way. So then you guys go do bad things. As you mentioned earlier, why they have to go to Nordstrom and take everything and then, run away in California, for example. That's bad. Everything they put anyway in the United States, Shaitan is everywhere. But you have to be wise, man. You have to have wisdom enough that to see the Shaitan and versus angel. And once you see the angel, you will see, oh, that's a good thing. So, I put organic food in my stomach. That's good. That's angel. I'm not going to go put in my stomach a whiskey or beer and et cetera. Maybe once or twice, like a turkey, maybe. That's okay, for certain something. I have no problem with that. But except that, not every day. You get liver cirrhosis. As a result, liver cell cancer. And then, you need to wait in line for so many years to get the liver gland works for you or not. You will be a dead man or dead woman or dead teenager. Why we should have this much crime in United States of America by Americans? We are sick and tired of it. People need to wake up and smell the coffee now, or we are going to destroy ourselves, and Ayatollahs and Putin and China without firing one shot on us, and British Empire will own us forever, and we will be a slave. Am I right or wrong? Go ahead, my friend.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Alpha Male.
No, I'm in student mode right now.
yes, sir.
yeah, because
he likes it too. I think my friend, my other friend, David. I think you say right. Sometimes here because too much far away. You know, sometimes we don't hear some of words or come slow. But what's his name, please? Can you spell it for me?
Which one?
Spell your name first and then spell your co-host, please.
Are you talking about Dave? Well, it's like three of us. You talking about David Israel?
Oh, okay. David. David from Israel. Okay. And then what's the other one and what's your name, please?
Yes. I'm Aria. Aria.
Oh, Aryan, yes. Yeah, Aryan Nation, yes. I remember you for sure. And David from, and what's it, the other gentleman name, please?
Yeah, you can just call me Alpha, for sure.
Okay, repeat slowly so I can. What's the other name you said?
Alpha.
Oh, Alpha. Okay, Alpha, David, and Aria. Okay,
yes.
Excellent. So now I can relate more to your names. And sorry, because I know we talk and we try to learn each other. It takes time, but for next time for sure I remember. So yeah, that's bottom line. You know, we need to wake up the people. And we need to let them know that these things are not the right things to do. A normal person will not do these things. And, I mean, for example, I know that person is taking Celexa, okay, for depression. Okay. You take your Celexa to be calmer and et cetera. Okay. And Celexa has so many side effects. It can bring dementia. It can bring so many other side effects. And whenever I talk to this person, I mean, he repeats himself over again. So he already has a dementia, and he's 45 years old and working for the top corporation. You see, my friend, and then when he comes home, his lady and him drink alcohol. Okay, which wise man that working for top company, you're making pretty decent money and et cetera. How you be on Celexa and you be coming home and then take beer and whiskey. Every time I talk to him, he's kind of, I said, where are you? Are you present? Are you in today, right now? Or are you in the past or future? Where are you right now? I mean, sometimes he cannot tell me. I mean, I understand. I said, okay. So I don't talk to him that much because, you know, I want to sorry for him, but at the same time, I don't sorry for him because I have consulted him many times and I said, hey, this is the right way versus wrong way. But he keeps continuing to do the wrong way. Then I said, the consequences is yours. It's not mine anymore. I mean, we can just talk, say hi to each other for five minutes and bye after that. Because I cannot take him anymore, my friend.
Wow.
Because I see his destruction. So if he's destroyed, it's a nucleus. Nucleus is a family. And if nucleus is destroyed, then the city will be destroyed, then the county and the state will be destroyed, and finally a nation would be destroyed. So I can see that. This is today's America is sickness and nothing but sickness that they give us and put us so we don't smell the coffee, so we don't see the reality, we don't differentiate between angel and shaitan. Go ahead, Arya, please, or
yes,
David.
Sir. Yeah, and I like what you said. One spoke earlier. Now, I used to drink just on Morgan David, Morgan David, the kosher wine. And, I like Concord. Now, I had stopped drinking. I hadn't drunk anything in over a year. But and one of my coworkers gave me a big thing of Morgan David for Passover, coming up for Passover. So I might drink a cup of Passover. And that's why I like what you said, that usually, most Jews, they'll drink it, for festivals, but not, every day. It's like a feast day or something like that, but not on every day. I got to have me a shot of, Morgan David. Now, my grandmother used to tell, I had my aunt used to tell me, when it was cold and their blood, it's like they said, get thin. They said they used to get a tablespoon of wine and, and put on a tablespoon, like medicine. And they said it was thickening their blood up. And now they did it like that, but they wouldn't just drink it, just sitting there drinking just wine or, strong drinks in any way. Like they drinking today, cognac and what is all this, Ciroc and vodka and, a lot of this stuff. But like you said, people get corrosion of the liver and all of this stuff from drinking. And you see some people drink so much, they look drunk when they hadn't even drunk anything. Their eyes are they whole features and makeup, they just look drunk. And it's pitiful how some people look. They just don't drunk themselves. Death, basically. It just...
Yeah, that's the signs of a withdrawal.
Dang.
Yeah.
That was that
is. Your body will reverse itself. So
wow.
You only feel normal when you drink.
Man.
Yeah.
Dang.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but yeah, drugs, alcohol, man, there is a place for it. I mean, like the gentleman said earlier, most of this was just for medical use. And then it gets perverted. And then it becomes a party drug. And then it becomes a crutch because, in my opinion, I think addiction coincides with dishonesty. So you have people out here living lives that they hate. So they got to pretend to fit in and pretend that, everything's okay. So they drink to drown all that negative and that hurt. I don't think people just drink because it's fun, because I personally don't drink. Well, that's a lie. I might drink once every 2, 3, 4 years. It's that rare.
Yeah, like a turkey. Yeah, like a turkey, people have turkey not every day, maybe different occasions and around the globe, New Year maybe or something. Yeah, exactly. I understand. Same thing with me. It's just maybe 3 times a year. That's it.
So, yeah, so people are forced into living lies, and they have to cover it up some kind of way because they're hurting themselves. It's like, I'll give you an example. I'm watching these young girls, and the guy asked them how many genders are there, right? Well, one of the young girls about had a stroke because the other girl said it's only 2.
Wow.
Right, she was like, "Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that." So So they're living this lie, and they're trying to bury it. So they instead of just speaking up, now they want to drown their sorrows with, liquor, drugs, or they become adrenaline junkies, and it's rough, And believe me, I understand it. But people need, like you said, speak out. And they need to start turning their back on these, what I'll call the oligarchs, because like he spoke before about the a small 10% is causing disruptions for the remaining 90%.
Yes.
And that's because people refuse to turn their backs on them.
That's right.
You know, so, but, and see, I can speak it because I don't know. Either I'm stupid or I have courage. But
I like that one. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you talk the truth. Anybody who talks the truth, you know, like all of us. I mean, it's like people say, "What the hell these people are talking about tonight?" No, we're talking about today's issues, problems. I mean, CNN, goddamn CNN, Fox, and everything. They don't cover dumb crap, you know. Especially, we know what's going on right now between Iran and Israel. Israel, all their army, navy, and everybody are in a state of emergency. Israelis, they went to all the stores today and empty pretty much everything in the supermarket, and you know, they know there is a tough times coming for Israel, and also, you know, they don't talk about all those issues. They forgot Ukraine too. Matter of fact, Ukraine nothing anymore. But we know what's going on. I mean, we know that the nuclear forces of United States every night, 24 hours clock. I mean, last night were three doomsday planes were refueled, and they had, you know, over the United States, we have special planes that they can automatically push in any case, you know, the silos missile doesn't activate it, they can activate it from air. And they were three of those planes were is a Boeing, is a special, it's like AWACS, pretty much AWACS, similar to that. AWACS planes were there. I mean, nuclear you know, forces of NATO, Israel, I mean, everywhere, Russia even, all are in a state of high alert right now, since 2 years ago, actually. But they don't tell you guys anything like that. You know, they tell you, oh, everything is fine, don't worry. But suddenly, I mean, right now, Blog Talk Radio for 1 week was down. As you know, they did not have a show. I mean, the shows come maybe limited, maybe one show out of 1,000 shows can go through. And I'm sure you had difficulty last night and the last night and the last night and the last night too. I mean, so these are all part of the, you know, issues that are coming because... especially with eclipse of the sun on April 8, 2024, which, you know, seven planets would be also lined up at the same time. And at the same time, United States, exactly on the time of the, what you call it, the eclipse, is sending a I think a landing to the moon, a missile going to go land in the moon. And also at the same time, yesterday, I mean 2 days ago, four planets were lined up on the 4/4/2024. I mean, heavens are talking to us, and you know, so something major we know is going to come, And so it's better to be ready than not to be ready. I ask you, please fill up your gas tank every night if you can. I mean, or every 2 days minimum, to make sure you have a full gas tank always. And, you know, so go ahead, please, my friend.
Now, but you said that the United States is planning to do a moon landing on the same day of the eclipse?
Yes, sir. On the same, in few, what is today? Today is our Saturday. You guys are Friday, I think. Friday. So what happens on the because you see, the eclipse of the sun, when it happened 2017, it passed through Portland, Salem, Oregon, okay? And then passed through Salem, Idaho, and Salem, other states as well, too. They have like eight Salem. So Salem actually is a short for Urshalim, Urshalim or Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. So, that's right.
So then that's why this eclipse went with the seven planets also is lined up. First is going to go to Texas, my friend. Mm-hmm. And Texas, the city called Nineveh. And then it keep going up to other states. And each state having Nineveh city on it too, and New York, and Pennsylvania, and all those through the route, and goes finally to Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia has also a city called Nineveh, and my friends, Nineveh in Bible means beginning of an end. So is this coincidence, or is this just accident or something? Go ahead, please. I give the please elaborate on that.
Yes, sir. Brother Alphamere, right? Man, I don't know if you remember that question you asked us, something about the eclipse, Brother Alphamere. You remember that question that you asked us? Because you answered it there. Do you remember? He was something.
Yeah, I definitely remember because I'm still curious about it.
Yes, sir. Maybe because, he probably got the answer to that one because I'm learning I'm in learning mode now on this one, like you said.
Oh, yeah. Me too, because I'm now he's on point. The only connection that I couldn't figure out is while all this is going on simultaneously, some people are celebrating Passover. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if there was a significance in the planetary alignment, the eclipse, and Passover.
Yes, and exactly, but then more information is coming that the path of this April 8, 2024 eclipse, there will be two giant crosses that they have built. One is in Mississippi, because Mississippi, they put a very giant cross. It's like very big and very heavy. And there is another state next to it too, I think. I forgot that state. But the path of the eclipse, it's interconnect. I mean, it's passed through two different crosses. It's very big crosses. So I mean, there is something. I mean, I think is and with Iran that is trying to bomb using the missile, supersonic missile that goes 6 minutes to Israel, and we pray for Israel that they kill all those missiles before it hits Israel. And we Iranian again, not Ayatollah. We Iranian worldwide, we love USA, we love Canada, we love wherever. We are there, plus we love the people of Israel. And we love, and we don't want anything happen because our relationship is over, as you mentioned, the Queen of Esther, and before that, 5,000 years of history. I mean, we want that once back again. And we are sorry that Ayatollahs are right now in charge and doing all this crap, but we don't have any enmity between any countries or nations. We are the Iranians. We love to have commerce. We have exchange of goods and, you know, services back again. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I am curious. Now, you say the Ayatollah is basically British, how do I put it, oligarch?
Puppets. Let's put it puppets, I think, better. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, wasn't Israel illegally gifted by the same British?
Yeah, the Balfour Confederation.
Right. So then my question would be, how could you not support the Ayatollah, who's basically a British colonist, but you cool with Israel, which is an illegal British settlement?
Because we have always had a good relationship with the Jewish people, Christian people, and any other Sunnis Sunnis actually are nice people in Islam, by the way. Even in Iran or even in Iraq, you see the Shia part is the bad part because Iran is the Shia, and people actually go towards the Sunni part, Sunni section of the Iraq, and Sunnis, they love people, they have no problem, you know, suddenly from problem to no problem. So you see, Sunnis, very good people, and I Kurdish people are very nice people. Baluchis are very nice people. Sistan, Baluchistan, and etc. But the question again go back to Shiaism. Shiaism is just screwed up everywhere in my ex country. And you say that we had always good relationship during the Shah of Iran. How many times, you know, Prime Minister of Israel came to Iran or vice versa, Shah of Iran went to Israel. I mean, we had lots of good technologies they bought from us, and they give us new technology as well too. We were buddies. I mean, we were good with America and other countries. But you know, Jimmy Carter last time when came to Iran, he called Iran Island of Stability. But unfortunately, you know, they sold it. They sold it to a bunch of these Arabs, attacked Iran. I mean, a very soft coup, we call it soft coup, and took over and really messed up everything. And today, you know, in the short time, Iranian 2 months, 7 2-month, with 7 2-month Iranian, you could buy a dollar. Today, is 70,000 per month. You can buy $1. You see how inflation came from 46 years ago? I mean,
now,
the people, yeah.
Now, what I understand all that, but what about the Palestinians? I mean,
okay.
You know, I hear people say that the Israeli people are okay, Iran's okay, which they both serve the same master. But what about the Palestinians?
Okay, I have a question for you. You call yourself Messianic Israeli.
No,
can you please define that for me and your listeners? Because it's kind of, I mean, I may know, but I want to hear it from you guys to see, so I don't have any misconception. Go ahead, please.
Well, I am non-denominational. I'm just curious.
Yeah, and for me, Ariad, and for we are non-messianic. For David and I, we're non-messianic. Basically, we are Torah-centered or Tanakh-centered. We non-messianic. We don't believe in this a Messiah concept. This, you know, the world teaches that somebody
are
that came.
Jewish? Are you consider yourself Jewish or Muslim or what? I mean, or universalist?
Well, we can somewhat say, I just speak for myself, this is Ariad. We can say I follow a form of somewhat Judaism, more of a Karaite sort of, because I don't follow Talmud and all of that stuff. It's more of a Karaite, if you know the Karaites, sort of in their tradition, like sort of like that Tanakh only. I don't get into Talmud, Mishnah, all of that stuff. But I've read it, but I'm not a, you know, say I follow all of that. Rabbinic Judaism, that's it. I'm not into Rabbinic Judaism.
But do you consider if somebody said, but your religion, you call them Kalimi, Yehudi. You call yourself Yehudi, Jewish.
Well, someone might say that, yeah. I don't really use these terms to label myself. Yeah, I don't do that. I used to. I might say I'm an Israelite or I'm a Jew. I really don't label. This is me personally. Like I say again, it's all right. I don't label myself and say whether I'm Jewish, Jew. I just say I call it a spiritual. Some people say religion. I don't have a problem with that. I might say I follow religion of Judaism. Or I might say the Israelite tradition, but I don't label and say that I'm this, I'm that. I don't do that anymore. I used to, I don't. And that's not the only thing that I study, but I stand on those principles.
And for me, it's our heritage. It's our race. It's our heritage. We don't do all that stuff, brother, at Liberation Tabernacle. Like for me, in this ministry, we're Israelites by race, by heritage. That's who we are. But we just follow the commandments. We don't do all that, brother. Talking about, we don't do that.
Jewish, so I'm pretty much, I said it correctly, Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Yes,
so it's okay.
Yeah, you said it correctly.
Okay, so it's very weird that everything we talk tonight so far, we have 90% hit or 95% hit commonality between each other, you know. And that's why I have a lot of Jewish friends everywhere. I mean, yeah, Jewish people, they understand today's problem. They understand yesterday's problem. And they will understand tomorrow's problem, too. And because you guys are, are chosen one that, you know, now you have an country, and so I mean we have not seen, I mean, personally, I have not seen any bad thing from a Jewish person. I mean, once a Jewish person is your friend, we'll always will be your friend, you know. But, never backstab you, never try to do anything bad to you. Always there for your support and for your, you know, help if you need it. You know, really, we appreciate the Jewish, and that's why Iranians, again, we Iranians, we appreciate Jewish people because we have a long, long history of bondage together, and we want once more our my new ex-country hopefully become more democratic soon, hopefully, and then we can see that once again, that love between the Israelis come back again, and you know, we want Israelis to come to Iran to see many places that we have, and we want to go to see Israel, that they have many places. They have Jerusalem, they have Haifa, they have many other places. So,
yeah,
you know, we want to be friends, and again, back to 5,000 back years ago. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so basically, my question was, well, I mean, we're going to love everybody. I mean, I understand y'all have love for Israel, but what about the Palestinians? I mean, we have communities here that, like you said, they make sure that the liquor stores are in the most economically depressed areas, yada, yada, on and so forth. But it seems like that concern disappears when it becomes the Palestinians or any other so-called outlier group. Now, we have a history, and everybody talks about all the terrible things that Hitler did. But now you have leadership in Israel duplicating, actually worse than Hitler, but nobody wants to call it out. So I don't understand how I can, you know, Ariat made, he read a scripture, how can you say you love the Father and hate the Son? Or how can you hate the Son and say you love the Father?
Yeah, your brother.
So So
yes, sir.
We don't get to pick and choose who we love. We either have to love all or hate all.
Mm-hmm. So, can I throw something in there for right fast Alpha Male? And see, this is the history that has to be said, because we could even look at this today, because there's, when people say Jewish or Judaism, there's many different branches or versions, or not say versions, different divisions of Judaism. There's, or Jewish, everybody don't even agree with that so-called state of Israel being the state of Israel, because that's what you was going back to, Brother Alpha Male. You was asking about that, you know, how that the British alignment, and the Balfour Confederation, because that is a Zionist movement. That's why I always bring, I can never think of the actual name. I know it's something, the Carter or something. It's an M-word, Carter. But anyway, they call it the Ultra. Is it the Magna Carta? I think it, but they call it, I can only remember it like this. They call them the Ultra Orthodox Jews. And you see them out there protesting with the Palestinians. They're against the state of Israel because they say that is not supposed to be a state of Israel right now. There's not supposed to be a state of Israel in existence. And they talk about and tell the history, like what brother is saying. Now, they do tell the history about how the Palestinians and the original Jews who always been there, because like when they talk about, there's always been, like the Bible speaks about, there's always been a dispersed, a remnant, I mean. There's always been a remnant, because even though it wasn't a state at one time when the Arabs and all the Palestinians took over, but there always was a remnant of Jews that was always there. And they said they had a great relationship. They didn't have all this banging on each other like we see now. But when Zionism, which is a political movement, which was, like you said, Alvin, it was bagged by the British Empire, that's when all this problem started. So that's the history people need to look at. This Israel that they're having over there, that is a Zionist movement. It's not which is political. And a lot of them are not really so-called into Judaism, so forth. They're Zionist Jews. They're not actually Jews by, maybe people might say, religious Jews or anything of that nature. So that is a problem, because even the Jewish community, everybody ain't on the same page.
Exactly, my friend. So we are agreement that British Empire is screw up everywhere they
there
put
you
their
go.
Finger in. Their finger in. And then, now they put a finger into America for 2024 election. But personally, I said there will not be an election. There will be global martial law imposed because of the World War III and because of chaos, because of, people are, let's say, hungry, nine meals away from riots, pretty much in every country right now. So what I think, there will not be an election in the United States until, and global martial law will be imposed. And World War III will be also is in full progress. And again, the British Empire loves that 90% world population reductions. So, they want, I'm sure you know Georgia Stone. Georgia Stone over there, in Georgia, they put on a stone that they have written in Hebrew. They have written in English, Russian, Germany, Spanish, and Esperanto.
Can I ask you something?
Georgia God.
Ask this before we even started this.
Yes,
brother,
sir.
You keep saying, mashallah. Are you Muslim?
I didn't say mashallah. I never said that, but remember, we say, Khodavand Bozork, that means God is great, but we never say it like Arabic people, because Iranian, we have our God.
You
our God's name
I keep hearing you say mashallah. Inshallah, something of that effect.
No, you might say misunderstood because of what the call comes from, so much distance. Maybe I sound something like that. Maybe I say Ayatollah. Maybe you thought that I said
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing, Ayatollah. I ain't heard that one day, and I remember that one.
Yeah, mashallah. but it does, as I speak Arabic to my friends, I speak so many languages. There's no problem for me to say mashallah, because once I speak Arabic, I have to say mashallah. So,
and I don't see nothing wrong with that. That's a good saying. May the Most
Allah
Kareem. May the Most bless you.
Right.
Are you Muslim?
You keep saying that my religion, again, it goes back to ancient time.
You asked us, are we Jewish? Are we Judaism? Are you Muslim? Are you of the Baha'i faith? Are the Baha'i faith?
Okay, I will tell you. Thanks to Ayatollahs. When Ayatollahs came to my country and we saw who the fuck, I don't want to use bad language, who the crap is Ayatollah is, we all change our religion. We are not Muslim anymore.
So are you?
Oh, he hung up, Dave.
See how that nigga hung up? I tell you.
He hung up.
Hey.
Damn, yeah, he hung up.
Hey. Hey. Go ahead, Dave. Hey, you know us when you was asking us, are we Jewish and are we all that? Something on my ass, are you Muslim? He ain't say shit.
Yeah.
He kept saying mashallah, and that's a Muslim term. If he ain't,
I ain't gonna lie, Dave. I missed that one. Maybe I missed.
He said mashallah over and over and over again, and I was just like, wait a second, he ain't with the Arab, but he kept saying mashallah.
But I hear him kept saying Atola. Like the Ayatollah Khomeini. That's why you know I see it. The Ayatollah Khomeini. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I kept hearing that. Now, I missed the mashallah. I don't know. But still, even when you say mashallah, mashallah, what is it? Most high bless you. Well, I might say, see, I just said most high bless you. They say Allah bless you. And I don't get tripped out with, because it's Arabic, where they'll turn around and say, may God bless you. So I don't trip off even if he had been saying mashallah. Hell, we need blessings, though.
What
would have been the problem, Dave? Well, okay, what would the problem if he was Muslim? What would have been the problem? Because I know you, Dave. No, you and them no. Goddamn Arabs.
No.
But Dave, here's one thing though. Do you appreciate the fact? That's what I'm just see. I sift through the flour. That's why I said I appreciate him for even throwing it out how they, like he said, they bring them into the community to push this poison in the community. Ain't no Arab going to really, ain't no really true Arab if he was going to really come and tell you that shit. Hey, man, look, I'm going to tell y'all the truth, bro. They setting y'all ass up. They setting us up to push this poison, the pork and the shit in y'all community.
I appreciate a lot of his truth. That he spoke,
that's all we got to tell you.
But he asked us, is we Jewish and all that? And I'm just trying to figure out what is he.
I mean, hey, he can ask because it ain't no secret. We say it all the time what we are. So it ain't no secret. I ain't got nothing to hide.
But I'm just trying to figure out what is he. Because
I'm getting the information. Because what we was doing, like when he was throwing out about the lineman, I didn't know all this shit about the lineman and what was going on. For me, I just sift through the flour and grab the things that are being thrown out as far as the truth and grab this and grab that. That's why I didn't want to get into some other stuff and like what happened now. He I ain't gonna say that he ran away, but he might.
Well.
It's like, go ahead, brother. I'm going to throw something else out. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I was learning a lot, but there was a rat in the flower.
Mm-hmm.
And it became pervasive. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I appreciate the history lesson. I appreciate the need for repentance. And I appreciate the effort to get like this worldwide ceasefire, you know, just stop the killing, stop the violence, and stop the drugs and alcohol. But then when you say that it's only for a particular people, I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, ain't nobody gonna say anything about the Palestinians. Because when we said America, our friends, and then you ask him that, he ain't want to say, because you've asked damn near all these motherfuckers, senators and Congress, none of them going to say, I agree with you. They need to cut this shit out.
Right. So he couldn't say that. He just automatically began to praise the Israeli leadership when they're the problem. You know what I mean? So you kind of kill your whole argument, you know, so you don't want peace. You want peace the way you want it and for those you want it for. Now, when we talk about building a better society from the inside out, right? Because we know if we get our communities together, then it spreads outward, right? But I don't blame white people for our bad behavior. You know what I'm saying?
So
we look at ourselves and we say this is what we need to do. So we don't exclude everybody else like you were trying to explain to them. We say black people because we live in a black community, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But this is a worldwide effort, but we got to start at home. But we don't pick and choose, you know what I mean? Well, okay, let's save the Nigerians, but the Ghanaians, damn them. You don't get to pick and choose that way. You see what I'm saying? You only get to pick and choose in a defense situation. Now, if a man violates your boundaries, you take his life. And it's not because of what he is, it's because of what he's done, right? Regardless of what, you know, his name or whatever his country, you call by country, which is a made-up bullshit anyway. But don't pick and choose. Don't come in preaching unity for all. And then all you, that your last words is how much, you know, you just sucking at the tit of Israel. You know, this ain't that kind of show. Either you love everybody or you kick rocks.
But I'm gonna show y'all something that I learned this along the way of doing podcasts, especially when we were doing this, and I just learned it. And this might be an exception. This is an exception. See, we bold enough to say the shit that need to be said. We ain't going to hold no punches. We're bold enough to say it. That's why some people I've heard, you know, say, hey, man, we the voiceless for the voice for the voiceless. So a lot of this, we're bold enough to say the shit that they ain't going to say. They might feel that way and want to say it like, fuck, hell nah, I can't say that shit. So that's why I said I've learned along the way to just grab the nuggets. Grab the nuggets when he was talking about how they put this in the community. I know everybody ain't gonna come out and say the shit that we do. So along the way, we had to learn this. Everybody ain't gonna speak this boldly like that. It's like I've listened to certain people, celebrities. They'll throw you jewels. They'll throw you some jewels, but they ain't gonna go all the way and tell you shit because they still got a dib and dabble and then probably in that industry a little bit. They gonna throw you enough to give you a warning and stay your ass out of here. Don't fuck with this. Even in the politics, you hear that, throw you a little nugget, giving you warning signs. You got to catch it and then have whatever you do with it. So along even with this podcast, I've learned same shit happens. Like he was throwing out the nuggets that he was, it's for you to deal with, not. So I don't know. We don't know who this guy is. He could have been somebody who's in the government. We don't know. We behind the scenes. His number, he called in on a all ones number. No number show. So we don't know who. That's why when it first came, I've been doing this shit here long enough now to learn this shit on here. That's when I hear certain callers and certain things. That's why I send y'all that message. I see it. That's why I sent y'all that message. I've had the situation. I've had people came in. They've been, man, we'll chop it up good. And the whole hour, bam, then it'll be the last minute. They might, and these would be these white so-called European guys come in. They'll chop it up. We'd be going in, man, hard on some stuff. They'd be throwing up like, damn, okay. And then they'd get nigger. It's like, like you motherfucker. And see, that's why I pay attention. I listen for a while and see how, that's how they'll bait you in sometime. And then they come with some ignorant shit. But sometimes they give you some jewels, truth. That's like I said, truth mixed with falsehood. You just learn to grab that shit, man, what they say. That's why I told them, I appreciate that part. And it's for us to just grab that, what he's saying, like, hey, man, that is some true shit. They are doing this to the community. Anything else he don't want to say? Because, like, but what he kind of said again, Israel and basically this other nation, they had a great relationship. That's why I went to the Balfour Confederation. And I went back to the history of how even the Orthodox Jews that said, yeah, and what go back and said, well, yeah, the Palestinian Jews been had a great relationship, but not Zionism Zionist Israel. Because, hell, a lot of people don't even know there's a fucking difference. They just think the station of Israel, state of Israel. And everybody in Israel ain't getting along. So do you support Zionism? Do you support the Zionist Israel? Or do you support, because he's saying the Israeli people are good people and cool people. So it would have to be, it could be a real technical conversation we could have had. Okay, are you talking about the one, the Zionist Israelis? Or are you talking about just regular Israelis? There could have been a deep conversation that I wasn't really get into because he was throwing some other stuff that I wanted to hear.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, when he just blew on past my question, you know. Yeah. He didn't want to talk about that. Because I specifically said the Israeli leadership. I ain't say nothing about the Israeli people. I said Israeli leadership. Now, he knows that shit is any other government, but you in love with him. I mean, either you for justice or you ain't, you know?
Like I said, but that goes again to who really is he?
Mm-hmm.
Could he actually say that shit? See, that's what I'm saying again. Who was he and could he? Like I said again, we're bold enough to say it. But everybody that call on this show is not bold enough to say the shit that we say. Now, see what I mean? Yeah. We are the host. We can say this shit. And some people, even Justice will come on this motherfucker, won't say some shit. And he a host on this show. Y'all know how he do. So everybody is not bold enough, even though they know it's some bullshit, but they're not going to be bold enough to say like what we are saying.
But, Sunray, come on, man. If you listen to this show at any point, especially with me on this motherfucker, you know you jumping into the lion's den. You don't call this show thinking anything different. You know, it's like if I go to the gym and put on my boxing gloves, I know I got to fight. You know what I mean? Ain't no exceptions. I mean, if you committed what you say you are, then be committed. If you're not, then you're a fraud. Because here's what's going to happen. When these C-40 zero cities pop up and this military martial law hits, he going to be the one that can't say nothing. So he going to be the problem. He going to rat you out to save his ass. You see what I'm saying?
I deeply understand all of that. Like I said, I deeply understand all of that.
Yeah,
but my point is, but here's the problem what we have,
right,
though. See, this is why sometimes, but see, here's the problem what I have,
He couldn't break a side.
He probably could have, Dave. That's why he hung up. That's why he hung up. He probably could have. He probably could have.
But he didn't want to say nothing. That nigga would, but he asked us what side we was on. And you notice how you was like, well, you side kind of with the cat rights. We side with the cat rights kind of. Alpha Male was like, he's non-denominational. We asked this nigga, is he Muslim? What the fuck was he? And and blah, 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 and humana, humana, humana. His ass shit, like Alpha Male was saying, we don't know what the fuck he was.
But the thing about it, you a host on the show. You a host, right? So you put yourself in this position to be questioned, to be promoted out in the forefront. This is what you put yourself out to do. You put yourself in the forefront for shit to be come at you like that. Right? These are callers.
Yeah,
and see, and when we do certain things, this is why y'all notice we don't have a lot of callers call in, right? Because certain things that we are target people. Man, the motherfucking show ended. We target people and people don't want to call in because they said we're going to, you know, like we're just banging on them. This is a talk show. That's what it's for. I don't expect every, like I said, that's why I say I learned to grab the shit that I, and a lot of shit I fade away, let that shit ride out. I don't, because I know, again, they not going to say the shit that I'm going to say. I don't expect that. And then, you know, so that's a lot of shit on here. Some of us, we might not say. don't go in. And Dave, I got to be honest, so we're not recording now. I can say this here right, Dave. Brother Alpha Male asked you to let's privately get on video and have a damn thing talk. You don't even want to get on a video with the brothers privately. So it would be like, okay, what's the deal with that? So when you saying that a caller's supposed to get on here and say everything, you don't even want to get on privately with your brothers to have, let a brother see you and talk, chat with you. But you want a caller to get on here and expose every fucking thing. Come on, bro. You gotta pick and choose. How you gonna do? Which one you gonna do? For me, this is a talk show. People can come in, say a little bit, drop a little juice, but we put ourselves in a position you be questioning that. But like I said, again, I'm not taking up one, but I'm like, fuck it. I already know the answer. I know a lot of motherfuckers ain't gonna agree. Dave, you didn't even agree with me on the Palestinian shit. You didn't even agree when I was talking about the Palestinian shit in the Israelis. Because you were thinking about I was taking up for fucking Arabs. Remember, we had a fallout on that shit. So how was an outside person with culture freedom supposed to say something when, hell, we weren't even agreeing with it? So, you know what I'm saying? So we gotta learn how to, man, just grab a little juice and know everybody, like I said again, everybody not going to stand on and say this shit we going to say. Everybody ain't going to do that. We see that shit all over YouTube and podcast. Everybody ain't going to do it. Grab a fucking juice and run with it and take that. That's it. Because, like, a lot of these people, a lot of people ain't concerned about Palestinian. That shit over there, they ain't worried about that. They'd be like, some people like, okay, like Tariq Nasheed was like, man, fuck that over there with Israel and Palestinian. What about, they was talking about the conflict in Africa. Y'all ain't mentioning this, y'all ain't mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see what I'm saying? So the point, we just got to, we put information. That's us for us, hosts, to put that shit out. No, we going to say we here, but like, we'll say like Justin, he don't put shit out. Y'all see how he do. But that's for us to do.
Well, you are exactly right, big brother.
So, I mean, that's just my personal thing. I've been doing this shit too long. I see how this shit rolls. But like I said again, even with the fact that he even threw out how he doing, we talk about the problem with Black America. See how he just told the poor how they did? That was good to put out. Now, whether he said the other shit about the Palestinian, that shit is irrelevant to me because we've been talking about that. We put it out there.
Well, it really wasn't even about the Palestinians, to tell you the truth. I just wanted to understand, like, you know, how do we achieve world peace if we pick and choose who's worth having peace and who's not? But I agree with you 1,000%. But, I mean, he could have felt free to say, well, you know, I'd rather not comment on that at this particular time. Don't just brush me off like I never even spoke. I think that was my major issue.
But then again, like I said, I could have been technical and asked him again, like when I was going into the Zionists, you talk about Zionist Israel, or you talking about what Israel? Are you talking about the Jewish Israel? Because like I said again, them people over, like most people that's running it, they're not actually Jewish. They are Zionist Jews. They're not so-called religious Jews or whatever. We could see now. Then we go into a technical thing. We could have got him and then see which side did he follow. Which side is he with? And maybe he could answer then. Maybe then he could answer. See, we don't know because we didn't get technical into it. You know what I'm saying? So he just said Israel as a whole. That's, like I said, they beating the shit out them goddamn Orthodox over there.
Yeah.
I don't know who he with. You know, we don't know. Because, like, hell, you got some Jews over there, like, you know, but other than bold ass, the Orthodox, they standing with the Palestinians. They like, fuck it. But then you got some other ones, they over there too. They ain't going to say shit. I hear some rabbis that, hell, I be listening to, like Tova you them. They don't shit. They ain't finna say nothing against them, the Israeli. They leave that whole conversation alone. I don't hear them saying nothing against them. Sometimes I'm like, well, the Israelis, they don't really, I don't hear them saying too much about it. They leave it alone. They ain't. Oh, yeah. They don't get into that conversation.
Well, they know who butter in their biscuits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then like, notice he's like saying, I'm friends with America. Notice he kept saying that. I'm friends with America. So by him saying a little bit some of that, he ain't going to go against America because he knows America is down with the Israelis to put that whole movement.
But yeah, I'll stop scaring away the guests.
It's cool. He stayed the whole thing you was asking. He didn't let go nowhere with that one. He just, like I said, he just paused and stuttered like a motherfucker. If Dave was to ask him the Muslim shit that way.
Well, which I'm going to tell you the guy's honest truth. Like Dave said, well, turnabout is fair play because he wanted to know where we stood and Dave wanted to know where he stood. You know, so it.
I don't know why he hung up. He just could have said any goddamn thing.
Well, that's
right.
Or he could have just said, you know, I'd rather not say at this particular time. Like I basically said, you know, I'm non-denominational, and I was going to add it. I'm just a baby bird. You know, I'm trying to get said now.
I think Dave was finna bring some heat on him. I think Dave, he thought, you know what it is. I think he thought Dave was finna bring the Israeli-Palestinian battle to him because that's Israel against Muslims. I think that's what he thought. Dave was finna go to jihad on him.
Hey,
you said you was a Jew, Dave. You say you're a Muslim. You were finna go to war, Dave. That's why he ran, Dave.
You know what? And that's why I say with Alpha Male. Alpha Male, I wasn't gonna go to war with that nigga. No. But I just wanted to know where he stood, cause you know, like Ari, I'm gonna tell you something. A lot of these guys. We do got allies with a lot of Arabs. Don't get me wrong. Like Alpha Male was saying, there's some actual Palestinians who would actually be, you know, be our allies. But when the roles is reversed, we need to know where the hell they stand on. But, you know, like, because you got a lot of Palestinians, like for instance, DJ Khaled, he's in the black community, but when it comes time for Islam, like the guy was saying, he wouldn't put that shit in his community. You see what I'm saying?
But see, you made a great analogy that he told you he doing it for fucking money. At DJ Khaled just fucking in it for the money, blood sucking. Look what he promote. And that's what he even told you. It ain't about. And that's what. Yeah, he told you that. But I'm gonna say one thing. I wanted to say it on that, but I don't know if I could really just put that out there because they'll think I'm talking about some. Like going back to Gaddafi and the El-Rukins again. When y'all were having that conversation once, you were like, how come y'all will be telling us this about America? And I was like thinking, like, you know what? Maybe it's like they don't like America and they see this bullshit that Americans are doing, American government, are doing to black people. But they don't like us either, but they just trying to pull our coattails. Hey, man, y'all taking that shit from America? So-and-so, XYZ, look what they doing to y'all. But even though we don't like you, but I'm just going to pull you up on a coat because they are enemy too. But I ain't finna help your black ass. I'm just trying to tell you. But then how do you utilize that? You take it because it wake you up just like, hey, I know this motherfucker really don't like me, but he's telling the truth about what they doing to me. And damn, you know what? We do need to goddamn stand up to these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? See, that's how I look at it. Even though I know, it's like some white folks to tell you some motherfucking truth, but then you ain't finna go over there and like the, like you said, hey, J.B. Hunt, no, what's his name? J.B. Stoner, the Stoner dude, they were telling Elijah Muhammad some bullshit. They were telling the truth of Elijah Muhammad. But he's like, yeah, you're right, but we need to segregate. We need to stay segregated. I agree with you. You know what I'm saying? They can tell you the truth to wake your ass up, but like I said, nah, I ain't finna fuck with you now. I'm just telling you what that motherfucker over there doing to you wrong. We ain't finna kick it. I don't think we homeboys because I'm telling you this truth. That's how I take the shit.
And see, that's what I was trying to say. There's some of those motherfuckers over there that would tell us some truth. But when it comes out for them, them motherfuckers will turn back around after we finish getting shit done over here and be turning around getting their pennies up and they throw us up under their bullshit.
But here's what I was hearing you asking, right? Okay. You were saying y'all be telling us this, but why don't you go and tell your people about XYZ?
Yeah.
I heard you saying that, but that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But I understand what you were saying at the same time, but here's what I'm saying at the same time. Even though they're telling you the truth, you need to take that message, a motherfucker trying to warn you about what this dude, hey, man, this dude finna try to rob you, bro. You better watch out. Take that and watch it and look at it like, yeah, this motherfucker do look kind of suspicious. You take that, that's what I'm saying, just take the nugget that he's trying to tell you something. But don't just think, man, this motherfucker finna be my friend. Take the nugget, man. He warning you. That's what I'm just saying. Take that nugget. But I heard you say, well, why don't you focus more on you? You'll be like, it's mostly like trying to get my words right. Don't be telling me shit, warning me what America's doing to me, how he dogging us out, putting the poison in my community. Why don't you focus on telling your people about what y'all doing to black people?
Yeah.
You see? But so you have missed the message that America's fucking you over because you want him to just go focus on his people and what they do.
I mean, we know America is fucking us over, but what the fuck we going to do about it?
Better do something. But just like, okay, a lot of black people don't understand, like you talk about, like he was telling you, all these bodegas and whatever they call them. All these stores, the Arabs on, and just like you complain about they selling drugs in the community. He just told you that was a big setup. That was a big plan. They set it up like that to destroy you. Yeah. Like I said, how many motherfuckers?